Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny. Yeah, he is. Is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. He's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No.
Paul Perillo.
Rogaine, check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine, check.
And Andy. And Andy?
Get the part so close? Yeah, what's wrong? You shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know what? Who let the dogs out? Who?
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is a lively day here at Gillette Stadium, and that's because the New Orleans Saints are in town. They had their first joint practice this morning, and I can say right off the top that the benefits of having that, I think, are very clear, especially when they get into team drills. We'll talk about that. But everyone's here. The gang's all here. Kevin's in the booth. The show's streaming, I hope. Haven't got any emails otherwise.
We played an open.
And
much better start than last week.
Life is good.
The mics are on. Not too loud. Not to,
no. Life is good.
We're rolling, except for the TVs.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. 508-543-7482. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. So, guys, you know, the news of the day obviously is the Saints. But if there's anything else since Thursday that I think we need to bring up, now's the time before we really get into depth about what happened this morning.
Transactions.
Yeah.
Made some moves, cut some players, added some players. Buddy Farnham's gone. Adrian Grady is gone.
Yeah.
Thomas Clayton is gone.
Yeah.
We might have talked about that the other day. I don't remember. But Darnell Stapleton, offensive lineman, is in. Josh Barrett, safety, is in. D'Angelo Willingham, cornerback, is in.
Yeah.
He actually spent some time with the practice squad last year.
Yep.
If anybody who pays close enough attention remembers.
Two weeks.
Maybe yeah. The biggest news, I think, was
but the
yesterday.
Injury, the injury
with Bill Belichick acknowledging that Ty Warren and Nick Kazier, he freely opened his press conference with, have missed a lot of time in camp and would be evaluated by the medical staff. We'll see how that goes after they get that information. He then went on to say, the other guys are day-to-day, which kind of leads you to believe those guys are clearly not day-to-day. Dr. Thomas Gill was on the field yesterday, so I'm not sure if during the day maybe both Warren and Kazier were evaluated. Maybe that's why he was here. Maybe that's why it all came about yesterday. Didn't sound good, though. I mean, the implication from Bill was
doesn't serious.
When he doesn't include somebody as day-to-day, like, you know, I think Roosevelt Colvin was day-to-day the day he was on the surgery table being operated on. So when Bill eliminates day-to-day from the conversation, it's not usually a good sign.
And it wasn't like he was asked the question.
Oh.
He gave it unsolicited, which was even
more
telling.
It was almost like,
you know,
get ready for the release.
Yeah.
On IR. I mean, that's what it felt like to me.
Preemptively answering questions that he knew he was going to face.
And we should point out there were
that I'm not sure
there was a
faced.
Report over the weekend from Mike Reese of ESPNBoston.com about Nick Kazier. Kazier, evidently, according to Mike, has even mentioned to players that the back injury that he's dealing with is significant enough that he thinks it could limit him to being out for the entire season. So it's a significant injury. the real eye opener to me was not only that Bill addressed that, which there was a pretty major story over the weekend out there, but the Ty Warren thing seemed to come out of nowhere. So yeah. For him to, I think Andy's right, for him to throw that out there as well.
Not good.
I think you're dealing with two significant injuries that are going to impact the team.
You sure are.
Going
now, going back to Kazier.
Now,
put your GM hat on. Does this change your stance with Logan Mankins at all, or do you have to hold the line?
I'd hold the line. If I'm Logan Mankins, it would make me feel better. I mean, in the course of the weekend or a short period there, the guy who, the restricted free agents who got paid in Doomerville got hurt, showing you the, if you really think you want to get paid, make sure you get paid because that can happen. And then the guy who supposedly, according to Paul Perillo, was going to slide right in and replace you as an all-pro left guard is hurt significantly.
Pro Bowl left guard.
No, I think he said Kazier was going to be an all-pro.
No, I didn't. I call Logan Mankins an all-pro because he has been an all-pro. Okay.
Second team.
Last year he was second team.
Right. I don't consider that all pro.
Okay, I don't really care what you consider anything. That's why they hate you.
Okay, well, you don't consider pro bowlers who are ninth alternates pro bowlers. It's the same thing. To be an all pro, there's 22 of them. There's 11 on offense and 11 on defense.
Okay, but everybody else calls the guy a pro bowler because I don't call him a pro bowler. Doesn't mean I'm
and
right.
And nobody calls a guy an all pro for second team. They say second
sure
team.
They do.
No.
You don't.
When they say all pro, they mean first team all pro.
Anyway. Just
that
to,
wasn't fa- that
just
was
to
quick,
correct
huh?
the last 5 minutes, never once did I mention that Nick Kazier would step right in and you wouldn't miss Logan Mankins.
Oh, Paul's got a hair across it.
Well, because you just made something up.
Well, you said he was fine.
Up.
You said they had a guy who was fine.
I never
said I thought we were joking.
Fine.
I thought we joked on this show,
know,
but Paul's serious Paul
I know,
today.
Paul,
no joking. The line has been drawn.
That's a little different
I know
than,
Paul would never say that
right.
because that would be good for the Patriots.
Right, right.
So.
Okay. All right. Now I
wait,
okay.
Let me clarify. So the record most associated with me is not 6-10 for the Patriots.
I owe Andy an apology.
Despite Paul saying that for a million times.
I'm going to.
I didn't know we couldn't joke on the show.
I'm going to stop this now because I owe you an apology because I didn't realize that we were all joking because clearly Fred brought it to a different – I apologize. I took that seriously, and I apologize. Okay. I'm being serious.
I know.
I'm being dead serious.
It's a serious show. I know.
I didn't think you were joking. I thought you were trying to say that said that Kazier would step in and
the danger
be
with
seamless.
That, the danger with that is, Andy, people hear that. They don't know you're joking.
No, but he was joking, and I didn't
know
he was
joking.
I know,
but 90% of our listeners do
know. I'm being dead serious. I thought you weren't joking.
But the next thing you know, somebody else is saying, well, Paul Perillo thinks that Nick Kazier is going to be an all-pro left guard.
I don't think so.
So you have to say you're joking.
And to answer your original...
For the rest of the show, I'm joking.
No, to answer the original question, I think it should change the stance
you
a little bit.
You think it should.
I think there's a little bit of desperation
the,
there that
from the Patriots
exist.
Side.
I agree
but not
there's
from
desperation,
side.
But no.
If you have a value on a guy, do you just change it?
Well, it depends on how important you think the individual season is. Because you're now chipping away at depth, and you're starting
probably
in a season two guys down now.
We've
you
said
what I'm saying?
We've said all
are the Patriots
now.
A guard away from Super Bowl.
Well, but
I don't know. But I would what I think again, much like the Pro Bowl thing, doesn't really matter. What
but,
they think? Do
well,
they
see,
think that that could
see,
be
I
a
think
fatal
none
flaw?
None of this comes into
do
the
they
play.
Think it could be a fatal
but
flaw?
I don't think Bill thinks of that.
Okay.
I don't think he gives a rat's katukus. And he's got a number that Logan Mankins is valued at. That clearly,
well, I think that's a problem.
Mankins is
that's
above
true.
It.
That's true.
I just think that's how he works.
And we've said all offseason that Mankins is a man of his word, and he's going to stick to his word. So if the Patriots suddenly turn around and give him more money than Jari Evans got, is he suddenly going to change his stance?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, it's all about money.
Maybe.
Who are you talking about?
You know
I don't
this
know.
For a fact?
I don't think so, Fred.
I
think he
point,
doesn't. I don't think he wants to play here anymore.
Oh, I think if they pick up the phone and they give him more than Jari Evans...
This is about money. If they gave him the money, I think he would be fine.
I'm kind of with Eric. It started about money. I don't know how he feels now.
I think
I don't
you
need
made
to
him
be
the
there
highest
anymore.
I think if you made him the highest paid guy, I think that would be what he wanted.
Maybe.
But back to a couple of steps ago, you know, Andy mentioned that Bill would have a value on the guy and he wouldn't go over that. But wouldn't Bill be smart enough to know that the market has changed? The value has gone up.
Right.
Because you need him more than you did 20 minutes ago.
But I don't think he looks at the market.
Well, I think that's a
where
mistake.
Where I slot him in terms of blah, blah. I mean, everybody talked to Jahari Evans today.
He's
everybody
an economics major. He should know
for
better.
Setting the market. Well, he doesn't care about the market. He never has. Well, he sets his own damn market, and he says,
but what
I'm
saying
I'm not
is the market needs to change.
But he doesn't. He never has. He never will.
If situations
I don't think
change.
So. Happening. And the other thing is, I
think that's why they're
making a long term
so
decision
many.
On it with the short term in mind.
But with a good player,
you're signing
it's
a 5-year.
It's not like you're dealing with a guy that you don't want to give that kind of money. You know what I'm saying?
But you have to pay him $8 million every year, or whatever the number is.
Yeah, and I also think he looks to
the Dan Connellys, the Ryan Wendells, right, the Rich Ornbergers, and says, these are guys who've been in our program. We've
Dante,
developed
make
them. They should
salad.
Be able to, they should be able to
so
step right in.
That's why I started the whole thing with saying, I don't know if he thinks it would be a potential fatal flaw. Personally, I don't think it would be a fatal flaw.
Either.
It's only a guard.
That one's on
right.
defense.
It's only a guard.
Linebacker.
Right. I stand by that. I mean, and that's why I haven't, you know, you made fun of me, Fred. I haven't been critical of the Patriots at all with this Logan Mankin situation because I think it's a guard. I think he's a terrific player, but
one of the best in this position.
You can get by, I think you can cover for a guard.
Yeah, Jahari Evans agreed that Mankins is one of the best at the position. Just so you know, if anybody cares. Everybody talked to him because it's his contract.
Yeah.
He's the comp, as they say in real
estate. He loves everybody now. He's got his. So.
Well, that's kind of what he was talking to Zane Duckworth. Do you feel bad that you're the reason Logan Mankins isn't here? Or something? And he's like, no. Like, why would
he? What does he care? Yeah.
That's a ridiculously dumb question.
I forget.
Yeah, that is absolutely.
Someone from our?
That's asinine.
Everybody who talked to him that I saw was from here. They were.
First of all, it's a ridiculous question because the premise is wrong. It's not Jahari Evans' fault that Logan Mankins isn't signed.
Yeah. Even if it was, who gives a rat's piss?
Okay, so now moving over to Ty Warren. What are we talking about depth now on that line on the left side where Warren usually lines up?
Well, you
have the veterans that you had.
Damian Lewis, Gerard Warren, Mike Wright came back after missing all of last week.
Not saying it's good.
No, but you have more people there than
you do. You have proven NFL starters, and you might have cut one of those. Like, we talked about maybe Damian Lewis is on the bubble.
I thought one of those
guys
was
on the bubble. He's a proven NFL starter, which is more than the guards. Well, I guess except for Gajcek if he plays guard. But all those other guys are question marks. These guys have played in the league. Gerard Warren has started 120 games.
Both of those guys have been in the league since 2001. They came in with Seymour in the same first round, same draft class, top 12 picks, I think. It was 3, 6, and 12.
But not here. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, Warren, Seymour, and Lewis.
But I mean,
they have a lot of experience.
We've seen guys come through here who started plenty of games elsewhere that sucked in this system.
My biggest concern.
They get pushed around. Joey Galloway can fill the hole.
Right. This is going to sound like a shot of the guy, but I don't mean it to be. But my biggest concern is it means more playing time for Mike Wright. Because I really like Wright in that situation where he can sort of pick
his spots
and be a sub package guy. I think he had like 5 or 6 sacks last year in that kind of a role. I worry about Mike Wright when he's out there for 60 plays a game. If he's out there full-time, I worry about him wearing down. I worry about injuries with him because he's had a lot of injuries in his career. Mm-hmm. And I think that you can run at him.
From what we've seen in camp so far, I know it's really hard, but Gerard Warren and Lewis, could they line up next to Will Fork and
I don't see
things
why
would
not.
Be okay?
Well,
I have no idea.
I mean, they'll line up next to him. When we see them on Thursday, I would imagine.
I'll say the defensive front has been impressive in this camp. The front seven has owned, I think, the offensive line more or less throughout camp.
Particularly on the goal line.
And that has been regardless of personnel. Whether Will Fork is out there or not, the defense has won more battles than they've
that
lost.
Could be.
Up front.
Right. We don't know. Have any idea what the O-line's doing.
Right.
Well, that's
right.
Why, I mean,
not exactly ground pavers.
You know, Andy and I were talking about the competition. You know, we do a competition page every issue at this time of year, and I was writing it last week, and I said, I think the competition level's been very high. What I don't know is if they're competing against good players.
Right.
And, you know, we got a taste of that a little bit today, I thought, with New Orleans being here.
Well, let's talk about that because I thought it was interesting. It was a crowded field, both teams. One team took one field basically for their unit drills, the other took the other field, and so they kind of, you know, moved into corners. You had your safeties in one corner and your linemen in another, and they did what they had to do. But then when they came together for 7-on-7 and then later, you could definitely see the benefits because now finally they're going up against guys that they haven't seen all summer. You know, whereas
and
like
plays they don't normally
yeah,
see.
Yeah, and whereas
calls
you know, even,
they don't normally
even just
hear.
Going out for routes, you know, you kind of get a guy's number, you know, because you've gone up, you know, but now it's you don't know how this guy reacts when I give a head fake. And I think it was a benefit to both teams, and it'll be a benefit to the coaches to get the stuff on film and have a little bit more evaluation of the
and
players.
It kind of looked to me like both offenses had the better of the two defenses.
Yeah. Kevin Falk looked great. He was going out, you know, against the linebackers of the Saints, and every time he went out, immediate separation makes the catch. He just looked like a veteran that really knew what the hell he was doing.
Kevin Falk, LSU.
You know, I think if you look on the other side, the Saints offense was on the field further from us, a little bit harder to see how the same, but it looked like the same thing was going on over there where the Saints receivers were getting separation. And
I thought it was an eye-opening morning for the Patriots' young secondary. I thought at times they looked lost. Mm. I thought Darius Butler had the but didn't make the play coverage. He'd be running the balls, you know, behind him, didn't turn his head, and he's within, you know, a foot of the receiver, but the receiver's making the play, and that's all that matters. I thought, because I've been very high on McCourty and Butler, and they're competing for starting jobs, I thought they got exposed today. Now, don't get me wrong, it's Drew Brees and the world champion Saints,
good,
and
good passing
Peyton and the best mind in football and all that. So, you know, maybe this is like playing Moss in practice. Everybody else will fail to compare, but I thought they got beat up a little bit.
Yeah, and I thought the Patriots offense, like Eric said, I thought they got the better of the Saints defense too, but I think Andy's right. I think the team periods are the ones I was really focusing on more than the individual drills, and it's hard to judge because you're not throwing the kitchen sink out there. You're basically just kind of going out for passes, and you're in coverage. You're not really – you're not doing a lot of exotic stuff. You're not doing a lot of stunts and blitzing and whatnot. But what more concerning to me than the plays that Andy talked about with Butler being there and not making the play, it seemed as the practice went on, he was less and less close to the guy he was covering.
I think he got beat down mentally.
Culminating with the Lance Moore bomb down the sideline that he wasn't even in the area code.
He had a tough day.
And then he had one – there was one like a little short – like. Little short pass right at the snap.
Oh, the one you're talking about, the tackle. Right?
Yeah, he tried to Lance Moore made a spin move. Oh, I would have had him in a game, put his hands up, like touched him.
You wouldn't have had him.
It was a touchdown.
You do the little curl in, and then the receiver, as he's catching it, spins back out to the sideline. So the defender's coming in, you can catch him going the wrong direction, and he clearly would have caught Butler going the wrong way if it had been real. He got a hand on him and gave it one of those, a hands up, it's practice, we don't tackle. I don't think he would have gotten much more than a hand on him in real.
It was a shadow tackle.
Also not quite ready for prime time. Zoltan Mesko struggled a bit.
Yeah,
you know, we've been raving about the growth from the spring when he was Shankopotamus.
Yeah.
Well, today he was back to Shank you very much.
We were calling him Visante because he was
Eric was calling because he showed his unit. Isn't he a guy who got in trouble for flashing women? Careful with that. You don't want to get Zoltan.
Visante Shanko?
I think so.
Not in the way, doing every Giants tight end in that way, like Zeke Mowat?
I don't know. But he was clearly trying to punt to his right, but just too many of them were going off the side of his foot. Wobblers. Sean Payton caught one well out of bounds. And I don't think only one of them that I saw that he really got. He hit one off. The rest were short, short punts that not what you're looking for.
It was. You put it right, though, Fred. There was a lot of stuff going on at the same time today, and it was kind of overwhelming at
Thankfully,
times.
We have all four of us because there were literally
three and a half.
At one.
No,
you don't count Fred?
He's the half. He left. He goes, all right. Practice.
In the middle of
practice. Yeah,
where did
you appear?
In the middle of practice.
We went to go drink.
You went to go drink?
Did you have a meeting? No, I had to.
He's got that look into the camera again.
Yeah.
I have some preparations I have to get done prior to the game on Thursday.
Okay.
All right.
What do you got going on prior to the game?
I got things.
Mr. Fink.
Actually, I don't think I'm going to be in the press box with you guys for the.
Don't make promises
what?
You
Who's
can't
Who's doing curse words?
We're not doing it.
This year?
For the preseason.
Oh. What are you doing? Is this your thingy?
I got things.
Fred, are you still trying to figure out that phone?
It's funny. I think it would be more valuable in the preseason.
Did anyone ask for your opinion in there? yeah, I'm going to be busy. But
we had a lot of stuff going on in the field today, Freddie. A lot of stuff.
Not going to be the same.
John Bon Jovi in the house.
John Bon Jovi came out
both
talking to
both
Sean
Both coaches
Payton
looked like
Belichick.
Little schoolgirls running over
my
to
God.
Hug
and
it was somewhat embarrassing. The third or fourth hug for each of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating.
And smiles
it was
just
like a race.
Cheek to cheek.
It was like a race between Peyton
they
and Belichick.
They actually both were running.
Who could get to him
they
first.
Jogged.
Maybe
they
that's why Bill's been running sprints all summer.
Right. And Bill doesn't jog for anyone. I mean, you rarely see him jog on the football field. And he ran over to get to Bon Jovi.
Yeah, he certainly brightens up his day, I'll tell you.
I've
never seen him smile so much.
It's kind of uncomfortable, actually.
Yeah.
I think you can leave the so much part off of that.
And then the owner came out, and he spent some time with Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi...
We also saw the Saints owner.
They relate to him.
We saw the Bensons.
Yeah, Tommy Benson was out there, and his lady friend, I don't know if it's a wife or not, but big southern black hat cover. Well, I don't just want to assume it's his wife. I don't know.
I was laughing at the big.
It's a hat, Paul.
Oh, okay.
Jeez. Wow.
This is a serious show. Wow. You tried to set the tone early. You wanted serious talk today.
I apologized for that. I thought you were being serious. I apologized.
So. A lot going on.
Is Mike Mayock still there, hugging everybody?
The crowd was a late arriving crowd. When I got in, when I got out there, it didn't seem like there were a lot. But by the time I left,
you were out there before the Saints were.
By the time I left, it was pretty packed.
Certainly was a late arriving media crowd.
It was
pretty packed.
It was.
Largest crowd of the summer.
Although no overflow that you predicted.
I didn't predict anything.
I may have.
Oh. No overflow that you predicted.
I think they were expecting. They were preparing to put people on the ramps, the U-Bid ramps or whatever they're called.
But there were a lot of people, and I talked to a couple, not a lot. I had a couple of friends there today, Freddie.
Oh, okay.
Loved the atmosphere and just feel like they got more out of it with the Saints there. Mm-hmm. And I would say the initial reaction was a big hit.
Okay.
And Andy made the comment, you got it's more out of being at that practice than you probably will Thursday night. There was so much more to see than you would need in a game.
Stuff, like little John Bon Jovi, Belichick running to that. That's something no one else sees.
You're close enough to the field, you hear the closer, interaction. Right. Brady was,
come on,
know,
defense.
Always, very vocal. You know, my friend had pointed out that he seemed like he was really agitated.
Everyone sucks but me.
But that's, you know, we've seen that every day. So that's a good, I think that's a good setting to see the players.
I did want to add, talking about the DBs, the pass defense, kind of getting their eyes opened by Drew Brees and company. My moles tell me he's not having a good camp. Drew Brees has not been good.
Yeah,
actually, one point last week, he threw seven straight incompletions and was upset about it, and afterwards was running sprints by himself.
Wow.
Like, so he has not had, because everybody thinks Drew Brees, you know, most accurate quarterback in football. It's shame getting beat by him. Apparently, he's not had a good summer.
He actually wasn't incredibly sharp today. And I would have said that even before
he went
Andy had a conversation.
The DBs.
No, but I thought there were a couple of even completions that weren't well
thrown.
He had
a bad one
allowed
Merriweather.
A really bad underthrow of Shockey over the middle in the goal. He was wide open. He threw it almost inside the back shoulder. It was a good 3 or 4 yards short and allowed Merriweather to knock it down.
Both teams,
really, really bad throw.
Both quarterbacks also used a lot of their hot receivers instead of going downfield. I don't know if that was by design or whether the coverage was just that good or the script called for it or whatever. Or
Brian Hoyer couldn't reach them.
Yeah, he did throw one,
too. When he didn't talk.
But that was a good point. There was one out that it was one count, two count, three count, four. Is the ball going to get there?
And Taylor Price. Good route.
Ran a great route. Yeah,
but you know he's
catch
thinking,
of the
I'm
day.
Get hit.
At
I'm
least when
hit.
I was there,
Rod
so,
Owens.
You're right.
Yeah, Rod Owens
was a great catch.
Had a great diving catch.
I know it was just a
one
on one drill, but that was a great catch.
And I know it's just Rod Owens.
And it was in bounds. By the way,
right in the middle of the field,
in between the hashes. Yeah.
Play of the day, I think, was Brady and Moss on a deep ball.
Yes.
Although it was actually kind of like Breeze's. It wasn't a great throw.
A little underthrown.
Moss was wide open. He leads him to the end zone and to the inside, and it's a dance for a touchdown.
And he had his T-shirt torn.
Yes.
On the play.
Yeah.
Torn. Like a used
had the
ticket.
the long red T-shirt underneath the jersey, and they grabbed that. The defender grabbed that, and Moss spun around, and it just ripped.
I thought Moss used his body well on that to shield the ball, and
he always does. He's one of his many skills. Mm-hmm. Wes Welker took part pretty much fully. I was interested in some offensive groups early on. He wasn't in teamwork, but then he came in, so I would say he took part fully in a.
Oh, and
high-level practice
and
against
well, they weren't going to let him, but he stood on the sideline. And they said, come on, Bill, let me in. Come on. And they finally said, all right, get it.
We're waiting.
Contrary to reports you may have read earlier this week, Wes Welker is wearing the brace. He didn't discard it completely. He took it off for one walkthrough practice, but it's been on the rest
Who
of the time.
Who said that he took?
Somebody reported that, Wes Welker's discarded the brace.
That is just ridiculous.
I mean,
on the other side of that coin. Wow. Tom Brady wore his brace yesterday afternoon. Mm. I don't know if it was for the first time, but early in camp, he had just a black sleeve. Yesterday afternoon, he had a brace back on. Today, he was back in just the black sleeve. So I don't really know what's going on there. I don't know why you would wear it for one day or 2 days, and then the Saints are here. You can't trust the Saints any more than you can trust your own guys, so they could be diving at a knee or who knows. So
yeah, I think sometimes it depends on what day you're there, too, and you think that maybe that was the first of something, because Eric is right, The brace has been on for Welker every practice, every real practice. And there were also there was a day that he got hit a couple of times by Mayo in team drills that a lot of the local guys were reporting that was the first action he's seen in team drills. It wasn't. It wasn't the first. He's been out there pretty much from like the second or third day since he returned from PUP. He's been periodically mixing into the team periods to the point where now Andy's right. He was a full participant today.
Yep.
Matter of fact, he was involved with a rare misplay by him. He caught a quick slant from Brady. Mm. Looked like it was inside a little bit, and the defender was right on him, kind of got there at the same time. The defender, I think it was Tracy Porter,
took the ball
away from him and
would have gone to the house with it.
Would have been a touchdown the other way.
Referees are in town. They
throwing a lot of flags. A
lot of yellow on the field today.
And they gave us their annual update on rule changes or points of emphasis. There aren't really any big rule changes this year. The biggest one we thought was where the referee is going to line up
umpire.
The umpire is going to line up instead of right by the linebackers in the middle there. He's going to line up behind the quarterback this year.
Except when the game is on the line.
Right. Yeah,
except
the last 2 minutes of the half and the game.
I just don't understand.
Doesn't
that.
Make any
Ridiculous.
Sense.
Ridiculous.
And you know, as we know, a lot of receivers use that umpire as a pick sometimes when they run routes, and they're not going to be able to do that now. But
what we did not know, though, is they kept track of that. Statistically,
they
tracked it last year. He said he didn't say who did what, but they charted all that last year.
I'm going to ask where Welker.
Although he kind of made it sound like they targeted some of the umpire, like to hit him. Not targeted in terms of I can use this guy, but it almost sounded like they were bounties on umpires.
And they may look at it in a different way.
Oh,
because I don't really. You know, I don't know, but I can't imagine the players are intentionally trying to hit the umpire.
Yeah, I can't either.
Especially
hurt him.
It's a man with no equipment on. You have full equipment. If something bad happens, that's like premeditated murder. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's no accident if you... I can't see that they would really
At the very least, it's manslaughter.
I think the biggest change, Fred, is...
a man who got slaughtered.
Can't line up over the long snapper. Going to be a huge fake punt in week one,
I really
Fred.
Feel like a jerk now for my opening... salvo with the stuff that we've been talking about since. It's manslaughter at the very least.
But one of the things the refs, you know, made me think was even beyond when the refs are here, and I think it's good when they're here because finally all these little holding things that we see get called, and it's a nice wake-up call for the defensive backs. You know, they can't get away with it. But if I was a team, wouldn't you have, like, I don't know if it's coaches or some of the assistants act like refs in every practice when you're doing team drills to throw flags.
No.
No?
No.
Well, I don't think they don't throw the flags, obviously, but in the down and distance work, they do have, you know, Bill is shouting out whether he or not he thinks the play was complete or not.
And all the assistant
situational stuff.
That's pass interference or, like, yell at a guy.
I've never heard him call a penalty, but I think if there's an incomplete pass and Bill wants it to be complete, he'll make it complete.
Yeah. Well, it's scripted. The down and distance stuff is scripted. They know what the next play is going to be.
Talking about pass coverage. I've seen assistant coaches say, yeah, but you held him or whatever. I mean, they call him out if they see a penalty. They don't just let it slide. Oh, that's fine. You got away with it.
Yeah, and I also think they probably don't want...
I see a lot of celebration on plays
but that's the players.
Yeah,
I know, but they have to learn now,
right,
not during the game.
They're not going to respect any... young ball boy who's throwing a flag.
Cause a penalty, maybe you have to do a lap. I don't know.
See, I think there's a fine line there, too, though, Fred. I think that Bill would look at some of the plays that go on during the course of the game, and he might look at it and say, well, we got called for holding here and holding here. I'll take those because there was 10 other times that my guy had good aggressive style and got away with it, and they were key plays. Now, obviously, situation depends on a lot. If it's 3rd and 22 when you get a ridiculous – holding call on a 5-yard out, that's probably not what you're looking for. But I don't think Bill would want to take away from the aggressiveness from his guys. I think he understands you're going to get some penalties, but you have to play that style or you're going to get killed.
Yeah.
Ty Law was a penalty every play, but he didn't get called every play.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ty Law was smart enough. He knew, you know, once the ball was in the air, it was hands
up,
off.
Bill? How you doing?
But it was before the play. He knew how to bump a guy off his route and use his hands effectively to throw a guy off just long enough. But once the ball was in the air, he was rarely called for pass interference.
Right.
I think he went with the whole they can't tow all the cars theory. They can't call
everyone.
Right.
And I think
that
that's
was
the way
totally
Bill...
taken out of context.
No, but my point is I don't think Ty Law, if some young punk who Bill said you pretend you're a ref today, I don't think he would listen. That's irrelevant. It's just wasted space for that guy. Now, an actual official who they're going to have to face again down the road, that's a little different. But you can't pretend you're an official. You don't get the respect.
All right. I'm not saying they have to have respect.
The officials themselves don't get enough respect.
Right.
Yeah. Never mind some ball boy trying to serve as one.
I think the players need to, from the beginning of camp, try to be as aggressive as they can without causing a penalty.
And I think that's what they do. And then they're brought over the coals or whatever in film.
Well, I also think they need to work on tackling more in practice, which they don't, because if you don't do it then, it shows up in the
game. Well, that's another thing, Eric. Now, I was
Eric
wondering...
Eric, pet peeve 3A.
No, I was wondering if we could find out from other beat writers, ask them, how often in your team's practice do they have full-out speed, full speed with tackling? I'd like to poll other beat writers on the other teams. I wonder if this is the norm now, where very few practices have tackling, or if the Patriots are the exception.
Full tackling. Not full speed. The Patriots go full speed.
No, I was watching,
I
was watching a little bit of the Baltimore Ravens practice last week, and they were doing their team drills, and it was full tackle.
All the time?
In the middle of the field.
It's not goal line.
Not goal line.
And they were taking him to the ground.
Passing plays.
Yeah. And it wasn't just their Thomas Williams, right?
And running Bill, plays. Bill had mentioned that New Orleans does it the way we do.
Right.
They practice tempo. At the same kind of a tempo. So
running plays,
I would think
middle
that,
of the field, they were
most
tackling.
Teams do that. Most teams do what the Patriots do, in my opinion.
And I didn't hear anyone saying, stay up, you know.
Well, there was one Saints
there was
coach
one today.
That
was
no, that. I'm talking about the Ravens practice I was watching.
Oh.
You know?
Dean Pease is very cool.
Where were you watching that?
It was on NFL Network.
He's referenced it like five times.
Well, I just was wondering where you could see extensive, you know, that you
he
can hear the audio, you could see.
Yeah, NFL Films was there, Mike Mayock was there.
Oh, okay.
And,
yay.
Actually, they're going to do the same thing with us.
Yeah. They had a cornerback go down for the season with a torn ACL. I don't know how it happened. Maybe it was just a drill or something.
Right, no, yeah.
But,
no, that's...
I mean, I got to think that's why they don't do a lot of full tackling.
Absolutely. I just wonder where the Patriots... How many teams are doing that and versus not doing it these days? Because there was a time where even, you know, when Parcells was here, there were, you know, not every practice, but there were practices where it was full speed.
Yeah. Certainly not when Carroll was here. There was no full tackling.
Yeah.
And I only did one camp for him in 99. I haven't seen full tackling. This is the way camp is.
And the other thing you would see, you know, with Ted Johnson, remember Ted Johnson, middle of the field, you know, coming up against a lineman or a fullback and – You know, it was just like those two mountain goats.
Oh, I've seen that.
In the middle of the field. And I mean, full speed.
Yeah, no,
they do that.
Brandon Spikes did that with Dan Conley the other day.
Yeah.
I definitely have seen that in this camp. Absolutely.
Yeah.
In the middle of the field. It's just, they don't tackle the ball carrier to the ground.
But
Everything else is
live. It seems that we've been complaining about poor tackling for the last couple of years, at least, right?
It's endemic. It is.
Yeah.
It really
is.
And
it may not be just the Patriots. It might be around the league where defensive backs just don't tackle as well as they used to. You know, it may not just be a Patriot.
I think it's a skill. I think it's an underrated skill. You either have it or you don't.
I do remember in the
you
Ravens.
You can't make Taylor Price catch like Randy Moss, and I don't think you can make Brandon Merriweather tackle like James Sanders.
I do remember in the Ravens Super Bowl year.
Moss is too Sanders. You know, unbelievable.
It just seems like they would
just
never.
Just in case you're wondering in this case. Moss, Sanders, same.
Who's the best tackler on the team?
I don't know.
Who knows?
See, he doesn't want to give me the answer because he knows the answer.
James Sanders is a good tackler.
Gerard Mayo.
Gerard Mayo would probably be.
Yeah, James Sanders is a good tackler.
Gerard
I would probably say Sanders. Mayo. I haven't seen Mayo take down too many guys in the open field.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
Jimmy doesn't have the flankers on all sides to funnel the guy into him. When he has to make a tackle, it's in the open field.
But I just remember watching the Ravens when they won the Super Bowl that year and just thinking like how they never miss an open field tackle. Doesn't matter what position. They just it's the first guy there always made the tackle. What is that? Is it technique? Is it just they were just lucky to have?
What year was this?
2000.
Yeah, back when they won the Super Bowl. You know,
they've also had a lot of good players.
That's what I'm just saying. Is it technique? Is it just they had great players?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it's an under. People think you can just want to and you can be a good tackler. I think there's a skill involved. I don't think it's just a few more drills in preseason and trying. It's a skill.
Yep. So. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Got a lot of emails, and we'll take a quick break, and we'll get right to them.
When the boss says it...
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking, and there's this weather coming, and it's like dark clouds, and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows, and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and there's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about. But there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
It was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. I do it for all of you.
Never gets old, that clip.
Anoso writes in. He says, Andy, yeah. On tackling, being good at it, I think you mean it's a talent, not a skill. A skill can be learned, but a talent is God-given natural ability.
Sorry, I misspoke.
I didn't realize Eric was showing up as a listener, too, now.
Wow.
Yet failing me again when I asked him what a knave was in the tent, and he said, you mean naive? He doesn't even know
Eric
the words.
Like that.
He Mother did not Goose like rhymes. That at all, Fred.
You don't even know like words intended for three-year-olds.
I didn't know that word, I have to be honest with you.
Jackson must. I was reading it last night. He didn't even bat an eye when I said
he
naive.
Wasn't listening to you.
Nice.
Yeah, no, he was. He was.
Astute.
Yeah,
he was
not. Nathan writes in. He's from Southern California. He says, after evaluating the Pats with the Saints in this week, what are the top three areas that we need to work on? Well, it's a little early. We had one practice, right? How can we improve these
punting,
areas
pass
by
defense.
September 12th? Assuming that we work on these areas, break down the Pats and Bengals game one. How will we stack up against T.O. and Ochocinco? And lastly, with Revis still holding out,
Revis,
what are the chances that he'll be out for game two? Break down the game with and without Revis.
Yeah, the owner said he's not going to be.
Woody Johnson says out for the year.
Is that right?
Doesn't expect him to return this year.
You kidding?
I mean, it's clearly a negotiation.
That's a ploy. Calling the bluff.
I think
they made him an offer. He'll be there week one. Turned it down, and he says he doesn't think he'll be playing.
Let me ask you a question. This is a dumb question, I know, but it's just play along. If you're the Patriots or the Jets, would you trade Tom Brady for Darrell Revis?
I wouldn't if you were the Patriots.
You wouldn't if you were the Patriots.
No.
Would you if you were the Jets?
Sure.
Okay. Jets throw in Sanchez. Would you do it if you're the Patriots? Sanchez and Revis for Brady?
I would not.
No.
Eric's thinking about it. Paul still says
no.
From the Patriots' side.
I would consider it if I were the Patriots.
No, that's what I'm saying, because I don't know how good Sanchez is yet. And if he's not any good, then what do you do? You're stuck.
Yeah.
I'd consider it.
I would not.
You would not do it from which side?
From a Patriots side.
From a Patriots
side. I'm always taking the Patriots side.
Well, that's what Andy and I tend to do.
All right.
Even when we're arguing with each other.
Right.
No, I got to be honest with you. One thing, I know Revis is tremendous. I lost a little something for him with the whole, I pulled something. I can't. To me, he told me who he is at his core.
Yeah, he
now have doubts about him at his core.
He's everything I hoped he would be for the Jets.
A great player and defensive
An
player.
An individual doesn't give a crap about anything else.
No, well, but to me, he's still a great player.
Oh, he's a great player, but this is what I hope would happen to this.
Did you ever notice that he goes one plus one and comes up with eight?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well,
to me.
I'm thrilled as a Patriot fan that this is happening with Darrell Revis.
That's different, but to say what you said about Darrell Revis was not necessarily the same thing.
He's a great player.
Patriots fans should be happy.
This
is a good development
now. This is exactly what I hoped it would happen.
Unfortunately, I feel this is what we have to rely on is other teams to implode.
Well, we have problems, too.
I think if they play man-for-man, I think a lot of other teams
are better
than
us. You don't think other teams are, quote-unquote, happy that Logan Mankin sat out? Of course they are.
Sure.
That's what happened. That's what
but
teams
the difference
have to go
is,
through.
The difference is that some of those other teams, it doesn't really matter. It just makes their job easier. It matters a lot. It's different with Darrell Revis. If Darrell Revis plays, you're going to be in trouble. A lot of teams will be in trouble playing the Jets.
Sure. Makes a
Whether
difference.
Logan Mankins plays or not, a lot of other teams are better than the Patriots.
You don't think teams were happy when Tom Brady got knocked out in the first quarter of the first game of the season?
No, I actually don't. I think you would be, but no, I don't think.
You don't think teams were relieved that Tom Brady wasn't on the field?
Yeah.
Oh, Paul.
Happy and relieved are two different
things. Relieved.
Go get lunch.
Okay. Relieved.
Sure,
of course.
Does it make your task playing that team easier?
Yes.
That's not the same thing you said. Are they happy about
it?
Well,
okay, so I used the wrong word. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's like a skill and a talent.
A guy got up there for the cookies.
Yeah. It took him a while. Huh?
Wearing his hat like a
You know what I mean.
Always
loser.
Does.
I agree with you, Fred.
Thank you, Eric. That's a nice
so you
red
think
shirt.
They were
I like that shirt.
Wait a minute. You think they were happy?
I think they were relieved. Yes.
Relieved.
All right. So you don't
It changes the
now.
Game.
I think that's what he meant,
Paul. You agree with his second account then?
I think that's what he meant in the first place.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he was happy.
Well,
I think he would be happy if Peyton Manning went down in the first round.
Oh, he'd be deliriously happy.
No,
but I think that he meant exactly what he said.
Because
he gets happy when guys get hurt.
No, listen, I have shown my respect for Peyton Manning.
Drew Brees gets hurt today in this afternoon. He'll be thrilled.
I won't
you
be
show
thrilled.
Your respect
not,
you call
not on the
penis
schedule.
Head.
not on the schedule. I don't care.
Oh, wow.
Go ahead. I was just
Fred Kerr saying a lot about what he thinks of the Patriots season. Will not face Drew Brees.
Look, I think
Drew Brees,
they're
not going to Super Bowl.
When a team has issues that you're playing, you take advantage of those issues.
No.
You welcome them.
Certainly, if the other teams have injuries, you're not going to lose any sleep.
Right, because it happens to us, too.
Yeah, everybody does.
We have holdouts, we have injuries, just like any other team. It's part of the game of football.
I agree. It makes your job of preparing for a team that much easier.
Okay, let's get back to the question.
Darrell Revis.
Oh, wait. I thought there was a different question.
Okay. What's the next question?
Well, no.
The things they have to work on?
Outside linebacker, I wanted to – obviously, that's been a thing to work on, but
Number
Marcus
one.
Morrell is now your starting outside linebacker opposite
– Well, he did
– Come on down.
Last 2 days.
Last 2 days.
Yeah. 2 days. He's been your starting – ahead of the next grouping, which is Ninkovich and Cunningham generally. I just don't know what to say about that. Career special teamer.
We started off a team period today in the nickel, too. Three safeties.
Yeah, at one point.
Only one outside linebacker.
We'll go with one outside linebacker. We'll bring Chung and McGowan and those guys on. Fred's ignoring us. Apparently no football talk allowed.
This is what happens when we talk football. We get ignored.
What do you think of Marcus Morrell? You're part of the show, too.
What are you asking me for? I'm trying to do emails.
You said you're part of the show, too.
You guys can talk. I'm trying to screen emails here.
Is that the
It's a bad sign.
Are we moving closer
Let's see how long this keeps up.
And also,
it could be, hey, he flashed Let's see what he does, and they're giving him.
I haven't seen anyone flash. That's my problem. No one.
Well, maybe that. Yeah, maybe that's. Well, that could be. That could be the point. Maybe they're saying. Yeah. Maybe they're saying they want it. Everyone to get their certain number of reps. Ninkovic got them early, then Cunningham got them. Now let's give Morrell his reps. It just so happens that it's against the Saints.
And
maybe that's all
you know,
it
there's
is.
There's that back corner.
But if
that
Cunningham
we don't
were good, he would not have lost reps to Morrell.
And Marcus Morrell is
still a rookie.
Things, he's still a rookie.
But he would have got more opportunities. You earn more opportunities by maximizing the ones you
get. There's a career special teamer. He didn't need to get his reps. He's getting his reps because they don't have an answer.
There's that back corner of the field that we don't usually get to do, and I call it when they do the mano-a-mano, and the linemen go up. Maybe he flashed in that and say, hey, let's give him a shot. Let's see what he can do. That, it could be as simple as that. It could be a warning sign that the other guys aren't doing that well. We don't know, and all we know is that the guy's getting some looks. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Thursday night will be interesting to see who goes out
20 practices into camp.
Right.
I'm just saying. If you hold out hope, which most people do, that Jermaine Cunningham has to be the answer, if he's not the answer, you have a problem. It's not a good sign that he was with the starting unit, and then in the 20th practice, we're finding ways to get Marcus Morrell reps.
Thursday night,
Andy. They've got three preseason games to also hash all that out.
Thursday night,
see.
Andy, who starts?
I have no idea. Absolutely no idea.
I'm going to go with
Ninkovic.
I got no idea.
I'm going to go with Ninkovic.
Freaking kidding.
I don't see any cookies.
Speaking of watermelon.
Kevin with some watermelon. Love it.
No cookies?
Maybe Grande will hook
one
us
of my favorite fruits is watermelon.
Oh, yeah.
What was the food?
Don't you love water? Good.
I do.
A nice
pulled pork. Although, pulled pork. I am not happy with seedless watermelon still has big white seeds in it.
I've never had a seedless watermelon.
When are they going to really learn how to make seedless watermelon that has nothing in it?
It's never been a problem for me.
I hate seeds.
You don't have to eat them.
I know, but you got to go slow and feel for them. I like to eat my food fast.
Okay.
You're not supposed to.
I'm a fat
guy.
I just eat them.
It's bad for you.
You just eat the seeds and then poop them out?
Really? You eat the seeds, Paul?
Sure.
Oh, you shouldn't do that.
What if a watermelon grows in your belly? Maybe that's the problem.
Well played.
See, it's not your fault. You have that thing removed, you'll be skinny.
Alex has some critique. He says, after listening to many of the news conference podcasts, usually those of Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots football team, I have to wonder why someone hasn't found a way to eliminate sound of the backup horn from trucks outside. One presumes they're outside to the interview room. How many times have those meetings been interrupted by those sirens? It's difficult enough to hear the questions of the press without that god-awful beep, beep, beep blaring over and over. Surely something can be done to eliminate that noise. And once you've dealt with that, perhaps you can get Bill to stop snorting loongies between answers to reporters' questions.
Do people think that we're like CSI or something? We can have like this.
Right, this is live.
It's a live press conference. Yeah. We don't have the ability to kind of, pot this up and pot that down and eliminate this. And we just want to get
my job.
We want to get the press conference up on the website, right?
Right.
Isn't that the point?
Well, there are certain times when I think. So it's drilling in the background. You can't ask people to not drill for 20 minutes.
Well, Stacey will usually do that.
No, but the other day, that's the example. He went out and asked somebody to stop. I don't know what they were doing. They were drilling.
And someone stopped, and then there was noise somewhere else.
Somewhere else.
Alex, the bigger question is, hey, you can watch live press conferences on your computer. That's pretty cool. You know?
That was a question?
No, but I think that should be what he's focusing on rather than the beep, beep, beep in the background. All right. Now, just joining us from Chiba. Did you just come from Chiba, Jason?
Boy, his arms tired.
I didn't just come from Chiba. I just came from...
Keene, New Hampshire.
Pizzeria Grande.
Oh, okay.
Because you yelled at me.
Oh, thank you.
But as he's known as a emailer and listener, Jason from Chiba's here. Nice enough to really, literally bring us lunch himself.
Yeah. Training camp lunches have been atrocious this summer, so this is a
he actually he just always drove over to Pizzeria Grande and brought us lunch. So, Jason, welcome to the show.
Hi.
What's going on? What's the matter,
I was just laughing at Andy's little gestures. Do we have nothing to drink? Is that what Andy's
lamenting?
Turn that frown upside down, Andy.
I'm trying to talk to Jason here. So
okay.
Talk to him.
I'm
we
just
have two conversations at once.
So, Jason, I take it you're just here for camp?
Yeah, just here for today.
Okay.
Talking to the microphone. Don't do what Fred does.
Don't get
talking
distracted by the food. See, Fred, you have to learn
Fred,
to be able to
him,
do a show. What?
Will you give him tickets to the hall?
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah, yeah. Are you by yourself?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, that's no problem.
Fred will go with you.
Why don't you bring a friend like Eric?
Well,
you go to the hall by yourself.
I'll call
it's
Executive Director Brian Morey and get you a pass. All right.
Well, you didn't bring drinks. You didn't...
I don't need one. Here.
Oh, you get an so, Jason, are you really in Japan when you email us?
I am really in Japan. Really, honestly, completely in Japan.
So, and are you here just for a vacation or what?
Yeah, I'm here to see family and...
He already hooked me.
Don't be distracted. You have to keep focused,
yeah, focus,
Jason.
Focus.
I'm sorry. He's very funny. You're right.
Hey, I agree. Yeah. Keep this guy around.
But you have to focus. This is radio.
Yeah, so...
Least funny guy.
Being chastised by the least professional guy on the show.
I noticed that, actually, yeah. Living in Japan, east of Tokyo, on the peninsula. Really, Chiba. It's called Chiba. The prefecture is. Yeah. I live just outside of Chiba City.
What do you do out there, by the way?
I teach English. You teach like everybody who lives in Japan,
oh, really?
Seemingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the thing to do. If you want to go to Japan, you graduate from college and go teach English.
And do you think you're going to stay there long term, or... Or is it just something you're getting out of your system after college?
Maybe about another year. No, yeah. I actually went there with goals, and I think I just...
That's how Paul arrived here, too.
I took the words right out of my mouth.
How long have you been there?
Four years? 4 years. It'll be 4 years when I go back at the end of the summer.
Yep.
Now, when you're done there, can you come and teach Fred?
English?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought he was going to say Japanese.
It is his second language.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So anyway, so that's great. So you're, did you take in the practice this morning?
No.
Oh, really?
I wasn't able to come here. I live in Keene, New Hampshire, which is two hours. Something.
I know where Keene is. Yep.
So I had to drop off the parents at work in order to take the car.
Oh.
Would have liked to have been here a little bit earlier.
Will you stay for the afternoon practice?
I will stay for the afternoon practice. I'm okay. Looking forward to it.
Great. Great. And how long have you been a Patriots fan?
Since I was a football fan. We didn't have a TV when I was a kid. Kind of a deprived kid. So
grew up with the Waltons or something?
1994, 1995. No, I just, you know.
Well,
a suburb of Keene is a pretty small place. And my parents weren't willing to shell out the money for cable, so I was just living
under a
rock.
No TV?
Yeah, every now and then we could get, you know, if the wind was...
TV, you just didn't have good reception.
Right. TV, some movies.
Yeah.
But basically, I lived under a rock.
Yeah. A lot of spankings in your house? A lot of discipline? Corporal punishment? Yeah?
No.
No?
Not any. Not at all. Okay. No, other direction. Total freak out hippies.
Yeah. You walked 10 miles to get to school, that whole thing?
Smoked weed with your parents?
They didn't have cable.
They wanted
you thought he was
to.
Getting corporal punishment? They didn't have cable. Definitely the other way.
Oh, yeah?
Hugging trees.
Oh, yeah? You really? Yeah.
Hugging trees, mom's married to a woman, all that stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right.
That was taking it a step further than I was.
We're a friend of the gays here.
Yeah,
so.
I heard
especially
that.
Yeah.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Last week?
I celebrate the overturn of the thing in San Francisco, Prop 8, whatever that was.
My son wants to be Minnie Mouse, I mean.
Whatever that was.
Yeah.
I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
I agree.
So, okay, well, welcome. That's great. And
thanks for having
thanks
me.
For lunch.
Not
that's really great.
Not at all. It's I know you guys had food, but it's the tradition, and I felt like if I came here empty-handed, I'd just be, you know, putting everybody out.
No, it wasn't great food, except they did have
watermelon.
Yeah. I was going to say they have good dessert today, but they didn't even have other dessert, according to Kevin.
All right. Well, let me Jason from Chiba's here. We've read his emails many times, but he's there here in person. I like that. That's cool.
So do you like Japan?
Yeah, I do.
What's a day in the life? What is different or the same about Japan in your life every day?
I just got this question at a birthday party. Coming back, you notice how big everything is here?
Everything's huge. She said.
Getting out of it.
Why are you staring at Paul when you said that?
Paul's expression right now is priceless.
He said, that's what she said. That's why he's staring at me.
Oh, okay.
I think you know.
I resign.
Do we have to spell it all out?
Do you have a girlfriend over there?
Yeah. No.
Japanese?
Yeah.
Is her name Chiba?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. That would be funny. Actually,
then Jason and Chiba would really take on a whole new meeting.
He shouldn't be emailing if that's the case.
Hey, multitask.
Right.
like our friend in the tent the other day.
Is there a story I should know?
No, not on the air. Nothing on the air.
Not on the air.
No, not shareable. I guess.
No.
No. So actually, interesting thing. Chiba, slang for pot. Chiba.
Oh, right.
Japanese means thousand leaves.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And if you smoke pot in Chiba, you'll have your hands and feet chopped off and be thrown into the ocean.
Is that right?
Oh, my God.
It's
the Japanese,
really strict?
The Japanese are unbelievable about drugs.
Wow. Because I heard that in Japan, you know, the kids, they have such a rigid schooling, but then once they get to college, they let loose and they go nuts. Is that still true?
It is.
Mostly with alcohol.
It is true. Kids relax a lot, and college just isn't the thing it is here. They get a lot of like supposedly rigorous discipline. Kids, you know, from at school from 8 a.m. to 9:30 or whatever at night, and then they go to college, and it all comes off, and they just do whatever it is that they want to do for 4 years, and then they go into the workplace, and it gets worse.
And there's a lot of karaoke.
Yeah,
still
a lot of karaoke.
Wait, can we get back to this? They chop your hands and feet off, and they throw you or your hands and feet in the ocean.
You. I'm not being serious.
Oh.
Yeah.
Kind of like those deer in England where they shoot you.
I think we would have heard about that if it was true.
Well, I don't know how things work over there.
Look, listen to me. All right.
You didn't say anything. I'm listening.
Hey, men of PFW and Eric, says the emailer Michael. And where's Michael from? Pensacola.
Hell.
What was that all about?
You asked where he was from.
He's angry.
I told you where he was from.
It's angry Eric.
God. Have you heard any more updates on Nick Cage's back injury? Well, we're not even sure it's a back injury. Are we sure about that?
No.
Okay. Anyway, we know there's something going on. Given the current contract situation with Mankins and the likely possibility that Neil will miss time this year due to injury, I'm concerned that the line won't hold up and we could have problems in pass protection. Is there any way that the Patriots could restructure the tender that Mankins hasn't signed and offer him more money, like what a franchise player would make, to satisfy him enough to come back? I know that Mankins would probably not go for this option, but I feel that the team, for once, needs to make the next step, next player steps in approach and try to appease Mankins enough to play out the season. We can't hope that our third and fourth guards can adequately protect Brady at an NFL level. Also, what do you feel would be a fair contract for Mankins, and how many games do you think he will ultimately sit out this year?
All of them. I don't think he's going to be here.
I think that what they offered him was a fair contract, and I think that if they had negotiated, he might have got a little more. But I think they're in the range of a fair contract now.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the range.
You know?
I mean, it depends. If you think he's by far the best guard in football, then a fair contract is a dollar more than Jahari Evans or whatever.
Yeah, I just
depends how you rate him.
I still am taking him at his word. I don't think he's going to be here.
I kind of am too.
I definitely don't think he's going to be here. No, the only thing I disagreed with is I think if the Patriots went to him and said, we'll give you more than Jahari Evans, I think he would get off his principles and take it. I think Andy and Eric think he wouldn't.
I don't know. I don't know
sure.
For sure.
That's the only place that I think we disagree on.
Most players, I would assume they'd take it. He's one of the few that I would think I'd have to think about it.
Maybe
would
the Patriots really could structure some type of three-way trade, because no team is going to trade guard for guard. You know, why would you do that? But maybe the Patriots could trade Mankins for another guy at another position that another team needs, that they have a guard that we want. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could do some type of three-way thing.
Getting a little late, that's come in since this happened, right?
Right.
Yep.
But, I mean, we're getting a little late down the process. We're going to do three-team trades in late August.
And I actually think the best you're going to get at this time of year is a guy that they've already gotten, a guy like Guychuk, who at least has starting experience. You know, Andy mentioned Dan Connolly and Guychuk, those two guys. Well, one guy has started 4 games in his career and going on 5 years. The other guy has 42 starts.
Yeah. In roughly the same amount of time.
Same
right?
amount of time in the league. So, I mean, I don't know why what his specific situation is, why he was available at this point, and I don't know if he's had some injuries. And that cost him, because he didn't play at all last year in San Diego.
Adversity,
and didn't want to get into why. Didn't even specifically
say,
I'm not getting into that or something like that.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, just
so I don't know what the situation
was,
but
adversity.
In terms of resumes, he's got a lot more on his resume than anybody that's already here. I think that's as good as you could hope for a solution at this point.
This problem, because I agree with the email. Neil is going to be hurt. It's not a shot at him. It's just the facts of life. He'll miss games. How bad is the middle of the line going to be? Because how much better do Neil and Mankins make Copen? Is he going to be exposed even? Because we've seen him pushed around at times. And now if you put whoever, Wendell and somebody next to him, are you talking about just a serious hole up the middle that's going to be blown up and put not only the ground game in jeopardy, but the franchise in jeopardy?
Yeah.
It's a scary proposition.
Yeah.
Which is why you get back to the whole, would Bill change his number on Mankins, up the offer? They can do whatever they want. I mean, you can sign him to a 1 year, $20 million to whatever. I mean, they can do however they want to. They're not limited to that RFA tender in any way, but I don't know. I don't see a happy ending here. I don't know why. I just don't see it.
Let's see. Cormac writes in, hello, big boys.
I don't see a resolution to the Mankins thing either.
I hope you are all well.
You said happy ending? Yeah.
I don't want to see a happy ending. Well, it's mine, but if it involves any of
you
guys.
Here we go. If a sock is involved, you're okay.
I hope you're all well. It's been a little time
since I
wrote in, but I've been listening steadfastly every show. And like Mike in Puerto Rico, I'm going to ask about something that's relevant to now as opposed to something that happened before the draft. I hope that's okay. Shocked. I mean, seriously, he never knew there was a PFW blog until the last show. I think that's Paul's problem with Mike. That's why they argue all the time.
They have many problems.
A couple things I was curious about. Firstly, the Patriots cap room. You guys don't discuss this much, and perhaps it's because, as Paul says, the cap doesn't really affect the team that much anymore. But I am wondering what type of cap room they have this year. Well, there's no cap this year. So they have all the room they want.
You just made fun of Mike in Puerto Rico for not being up to speed, and you didn't know this is an uncapped year? I mean, no offense. But
who was that?
No, Cormac.
Oh, Cormac. Well, he's a drunk Irishman. He could come after me.
Yeah, there is no cap this year. The question is, so you would say, well, then why aren't teams doing whatever they want? Because there could be ramifications later on when they do create the new CBA. Teams that just went nuts this year could be penalized. So far, no team has. So,
and it's debatable how much actual money teams have to spend.
Right.
I mean, it's a tough time right now for everybody. I mean, even the owners that have millions and millions of dollars, it's a tough time. I don't think they have these, disposable income to just throw out there on making a Super Bowl run. Plus, even if they don't do the retroactive thing, Fred, there's going to be something going forward, something resembling the system that we've become accustomed to. You can't set yourself up to have to get rid of these guys either.
Right.
You know, you brought up the Logan Mankins situation, and Andy's right. They could do anything they want. They could do 1 year, $20 million. I don't think Mankins is interested in signing that.
No.
You know, so he wants, and that's the stumbling block. He wants a multi-year deal for multi-million dollars, and that's probably where the Patriots don't want to go.
All right, Cormac, since you didn't know that there was a salary, a no-cap year, I'm not going to read the rest of your email.
And you have to send lunch next week.
LT from Adelaide writes in, now that we're 2 weeks into camp and about to start preseason, what are your thoughts on the regular season record and how far into the playoffs this team might go? I also have a question as to how far you think this team is from winning a Super Bowl. Do you believe that Aaron Schobel is the difference between the Patriots winning the Super Bowl this year? At what other position do you think a Schobel-equivalent talent for that position would make this team better besides upgrading the other linebacker position? In essence, how many good players are the Patriots away from becoming a great team?
Five.
Andy's just going to act like a jackass.
More importantly, Andy now on record with the 6-10 prediction.
Right.
That's right.
No, I'm not.
That is the number most associated with them.
I will say this. Now he's on record. Good point.
Absolutely, if they lose to the Bengals, 6-10 will be in the ballpark.
I'm going 8-8, give or take one game.
Which would put you in the ballpark of 6-10. If you go 7-9, you're in the 6-10 ballpark.
That's right.
10-6 for me, and I think a guy like Schobel specifically could be the difference between making the playoffs and not. But I don't think he's good enough to be the difference between Super Bowl and not.
If the Patriots, I kind of, you know, I can see where Andy's coming from with that first game. If the Patriots go 2-0 in the first two games, they will be 11-5. If they go 1-1 in the first two games, they will be 10-6. If they go 0-2, all bets are off.
So if they go 1-1, nothing else will change the same.
And well, Andy and I have been talking about that first block of games before the bye week. And it really does come down to that Bengals game.
Yep.
Because then you have to go on the road against the Jets. You're expecting to get the win at home against the Bills. Then you have to go to Miami, where it's always difficult to win. So if you don't win that first game, you're legitimately looking at a potential 1-3 in the face going into the bye week.
And just the game itself, they match up with your supposed strength, your passing game, because they have two very good corners that theoretically can take away or slow Moss and Welker.
And maybe three.
And
maybe.
And they have a good defense overall, by the way. You know, Samoans up front.
They
all those
had a
big
very
guys.
Good defense
big
last year.
Big physical defense.
Because they couldn't move the ball from here
and
to there.
And their offense
the playoffs.
Has the potential to embarrass you. I mean, they have the two high-priced, high-profile receivers who I think can both still play. I don't care what their egos, their VH1 shows, anything. I think they can still play. And early in the year, I think there's the chance you get the best out of them. Week one, two, three, first month. Nothing can go wrong, really, before then. And they have the tight end, Gresham. Palmer might be hot. I just think you have the potential to get embarrassed because of the matchup in some ways. And if you get embarrassed in week one and then go into the stretch Eric's talking about, it could be a long season.
Could be. From what your collective blog has said about Torrey Holt, do you see him as a coach in the field with these young receivers by teaching them the nuances in receiving at the NFL level? All right, love the show, the blog, and the paper. Feels like I'm there in Foxborough from across the other side of the world in Australia. Keep up the great work. Torrey Holt, do you think he's contributed from that mentor-type role so far?
Yeah.
Or is he too worried about getting a job for himself?
I think he has to worry about that, too.
I think he has to worry about that as a job.
But we've said he's very active when he's not doing something with the team. He's stretching.
Problem.
Yeah, he's like almost like ADHD. He's always having to do something, stretching,
moving around,
talking to somebody. But yeah, I haven't really seen him do a lot of mentoring. The most mentoring he did was when he yelled at Taylor Price the other day.
No, but he's done some on the side. I've seen him doing little things with people. I mean,
more in drills.
It's
than
not
in
his focus. He has to compete for a job. But I have seen him on occasion working with guys,
and he might be doing that more off the field,
right.
Like in the
you don't know.
In the film room, right. In the locker room, where we obviously don't have access.
We should point out, by the way, that this morning was his second practice in a row. He wasn't suited up. He was in. I don't even want to say shorts because he was in like
no,
a
he was
full
in a sweatsuit,
sweat gear,
full winter
with
gear.
A winter
full
hat
winter gear
too.
Today.
But I do believe he always stays with the receivers in the offense, so he's not like rehabbing with the medical guys.
Which is why yesterday I thought it was a veteran day off kind of thing, but then when he wasn't out there again today, now I don't know.
Maybe it's veteran 2 days off?
Maybe it's a minor thing and he doesn't, you know, just kind of letting it heal. Maybe he had some swelling or something. Not necessarily something you need to rehab, just kind of let it run its course.
That's a little weird. Even the veterans with days off in the past did stuff on the sideline with the medical, do like push-ups or like Willie McGinnis and those guys would get days off and they would do some things. I just see him watching the receivers, the offense, the drills.
Pablo in Mexico City writes in, on Thursday, the Patriots will play the first game of their preseason against the defending Super Bowl champs. NFL Network will broadcast the game after it finishes, giving me a rare chance to watch a preseason game on TV, which raises a couple of questions. One, can a fan actually get a meaningful sense of where players are in their development from watching the game?
Some.
Well, you know, I think it can be deceiving, but at the same time, if you go back just last year, we saw Myron Pryor all of a sudden leapfrog, you know, Ron Brace very quickly. That was a sign of things to come.
I would say you have to take good and bad with a grain of salt, but don't just forget it.
We saw flashes from Edelman, which told us, this guy can play.
First
maybe
time he
in
touched
the NFL.
Ball, he scored a touchdown.
Yeah, so that was a sign of things to come. We saw Chung look terrible in coverage, and he really didn't contribute that way much for the rest of the season. That was a sign of
starting safety.
You know,
I actually, that's a really good rundown of some of the things that jumped right off. You know, first game, we saw Myron Pryor starting. You know, and I think Fred's
point. Who won last year, the Texans or the Patriots?
I think Fred's point is
blah, 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 blah.
Pay attention to who the guys are playing against. We saw Myron Pryor right away last year. He was with the ones. He was out there with the first group playing against a first group. So if you see him flash and show up and make some plays, that's probably a sign that the guy's development is pretty good. Whereas other guys, you know, you might see, you know, we see this a lot with running backs. They get in the game late. And, you know, Benny has done this in the preseason.
Crable 2 years ago.
You know, you know, in the fourth quarter when a guy's running the clock out, it's not a good time to evaluate the guy's progress. Now, it's better if he's moving the chains and getting yards than not, but there's got to be more to the picture there to get excited about.
And Pablo's second question is, can you get a sense of where the team as a whole is heading?
No.
That's a little bit more difficult.
I think that's almost impossible.
Yeah. Unless they go 0-4 and they really look bad.
No, because even 0-4 preseason teams
but usually
winning records.
The mantra is if you have a terrible preseason, it is an indication that, you know, you may not be where you want to be. No. You know,
I don't think you want to go 0-4, but I also don't think,
it matters
deal.
That much.
They went 0-4 in 08, I believe, and went 11-5 in the season without their quarterback.
Yeah.
Even though I think there's a lot of stipulations there. Facts are the facts. They did go 0-4 that year.
Yep. Okay. So, yeah, it's tougher. It's a lot better to judge individuals in preseason than the team. The team, it's very difficult. And also, can preseason games ever be entertaining?
Sure.
If you can keep awake... four quarters in a preseason game. There have been games. I go back to the Michael Bishop games, you know, when they pulled out some with Sean Morey. They pulled out some wins at the end of the game. You know, if you stuck it out, you saw a really good ending. But, man, you have to really fight through a lot of trash in order to get there, you know. Because I remember that Philadelphia game. Maybe it was Carolina. We were playing Carolina. We were all begging for the game not to go into overtime because it was that close.
That's right.
You know, we didn't care who won. Yeah. Just end it.
Last year's Adam preseason kicked, like, game when Ocho Cinco had to kick off and kick extra points, that was mildly exciting for that part, you know, that portion of it. It was only like a 7-6 game or whatever
it
was.
That was a game down in Carolina that Adam kicked like a 56-yarder with 5 seconds left to tie the game. And we were like, you got to be kidding me. And then we try to squib it into the line, and they just recovered it. And Casey kicked a 60-yarder on the last play of the game to win it.
Right.
And we were high-fiving, literally.
Also, congrats on the great work on the blog, Andy.
Thank you.
Although you should improve the security on it, some girl keeps logging in and posting crappy entries titled Quick Kits, Kicks, or something like that. Keep up the great work.
Some girl.
I didn't see that. I didn't see where that one was going.
I didn't either.
Eric is just fuming right
You'll
now.
You'll be in hell, too.
Angry Eric.
Well, he's from Mexico City, so, you know, he's not really living in heaven.
I'd be careful with the Mexicans. Isn't there, like, beheadings and stuff going on right now? They're some serious peeps.
Let's
Good
see.
Foxborough, then.
In all seriousness, where did he come from, the serious people?
No, they don't mess around down there. You see those bloodbaths, like, parties, just and like, 50 people massacred.
Oh, yeah. They
don't mess around there.
It's not like doing drugs in Chiba, obviously.
The Irish, they're overrated.
There's
they're
no value to life going on
That's
down
the
there
government,
right now.
Guys.
Save me one of those watermelons. I want a watermelon. Can
Here you
I
go.
Eat it? I haven't finished my lunch yet. I'm trying to do a show. Brooklyn Matt.
You're trying?
It's his show.
Brooklyn Matt says, Eric, teach Fred how to pronounce A's.
Oh, I've given up on that.
Fred, I've learned to live with the way you say Pizzeria Grande, but hearing
Pizzeria.
Butcher the beautiful Spanish pronunciation of mano a mano is just too much for me.
Mano
a pet peeve of people in other countries is the way many Americans pronounce A's in the middle of words, all nasally and hard. My French cosmetics model I met in New York used to bust on the way I butcher the word France with a hard A. Well, I learned to soften it up, and before I knew it, I was being flown to Paris to spend a wonderful 8 months soaking up the culture with a freaking French model on my arm. Fred, soften your A's, and the same could happen to you. Eric, put a short leash on him. Please, my ears hurt. Ferrero socks, Merry Christmas.
French, yeah,
who says France? Nobody says France.
Tour de France, they do. They say France.
The French.
Fancy. Yeah, but we say France here.
Screw the French.
And that's the problem.
I think that's what Matt did.
Fancy.
No, but I think
you say Iran or Iran?
I would say Iran.
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 You
Iran.
Say Iran.
Of course he does.
Anybody who would say Iran is doing it for effect.
Well, no, that's the way it's pronounced.
But if that's the way it's pronounced, then that's the way it should be pronounced.
Well, France is pronounced France.
I say Iran.
It's Darrell Revis, and you say Revis.
Respect.
When have you?
Oh, you do it
when
purposely.
Have you pronounced things properly?
What?
When have you started pronouncing things properly?
That's his shtick.
I know.
Exactly. Thank you, Jason.
Well, disgusting.
Well, but, okay, so in Japanese, Japan is Nippon.
Nippon.
Right. We don't say Nippon here.
No, we don't.
We say Japan.
We say Japan. So, like, what are we arguing about?
Right. Why can't
right.
I say France?
Right.
We've reached that point in the show. I'm with you. I'm on your side.
Okay.
He would say
France
Nippon.
Is not disrespect. I was...
No, I say Japan.
Everyone was brought up saying
English
France,
speakers.
Right? France. You say France, Eric? Don't tell me you say
no,
France.
No, I don't say France. Unless I'm in France. And then I would say France.
But he throws his head when he does it. I don't say France. You should have a little beret when you say that.
If you say Iran in Iraq, you should say France. You should be consistent. Consistently pompous.
No, but that's how I've always heard it, was Iran. And then it got bastardized into
Iran
and Iraq.
I actually had
Iraq,
a Persian roommate at one point.
Atrocious.
Who, you know, his... parents left when the Shah got deposed.
And I don't know why you're looking at me. I don't know what
you're talking
about.
So, you know, he would always say Iran.
Right, because that's how it's pronounced.
Right. But I say Iran because...
What the fuck? You know, I run, you run, I run.
Anyway. Okay, Brooklyn Matt. Point taken. Let's see.
No, not taken. Screw you.
Yeah, I guess so.
Just so you know, next
tell
time
your
we
girlfriend
get lunch,
to shave her armpits. To see the difference.
And be a woman, not a
people
man.
From, point ignored. From the country say Iran. Right. So people here don't. People from France say France. But we don't honor that one. I don't really see
I
the
don't
difference.
Honor any of them. I do what I want.
Exactly.
And speak, what do they say... What do they call us? In
A-holes.
Usually A-holes.
No.
Ugly A-holes.
And I'm okay with that.
But
that's
they're like in France.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm sure they don't say United States. What do they say about
Americans?
Americans.
I don't know.
Probably. Americans, probably.
Or America or
okay.
The A-holes. U.S. Or U.S. of A. Remember we were watching that?
No.
Was it BBC?
No.
When they were saying the U.S. of A. They were
was Andy on?
Probably.
Beikoku.
What?
Huh?
That's America in Japanese.
Beikoku?
Beikoku.
Beikokli?
Yeah, just like that.
You can't even repeat that.
Yeah.
Wow,
you're not ready for a second language.
Master English first.
Let's see. Sean writes in, is it totally out of the question that Moss gets re-signed? If the Pats let him go, we will have concerns at linebacker and receiver next year. Better sign Brady quick. Fred, you should probably see your doctor for stress medication because you are going to need it by week 4.
I don't think it's out of the question.
What the hell is this, Colson sign here?
I don't think it's out of the question that Moss gets re-signed. However, I don't think he will be here next year.
I don't think it's out of the question at all.
I wouldn't rule it out.
No, absolutely wouldn't rule it out.
Got to see how this year sort of plays out, though.
And I would definitely sign Brady first. Because if I don't have Brady, then I don't need Moss.
Yeah, exactly.
Moss is a waste of money if you don't have Brady.
He wouldn't want to also. He definitely wouldn't want to resign.
A problem waiting to happen.
I'm saying, he'll just pout the whole time.
I mean, he's seen Brian Hoyer throw the outs that I have. That ain't happening.
Vishal writes in. Hope I'm pronouncing your name right. If I'm not, Eric will correct me, so I must have. Hey, guys, first time emailer.
I want you to pronounce the last name. That's the funnier one.
Well, you guys both have
first time emailer from St. Louis, Missouri. I have a question about Jermaine Cunningham. Do you think he's going to be a good pass rusher like Richard Seymour in his rookie year? Seymour
two
wasn't
different
really
positions, though.
A pass rusher in his rookie year or ever, really.
Ever. He's not.
No. Yeah. He's a pocket collapser.
Not a pass rusher.
He was a containment type guy. Guy
as
that,
part of a
yeah.
good defense.
Yeah.
You know, with some other guys, McGinnis and Vrabel around him, I think he at times showed up in that role. But Cunningham needs to be more of an impact pass rusher.
Yep.
And he's moving down the depth chart.
And I just haven't seen enough of him yet to really make a strong determination. I haven't.
Nor have I.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking
apparently
forward.
Bill has.
I'm looking forward to Thursday for that because you even seen like
not once.
A handful of reps that you could say, wow, I could see, you know, quick first step or
nope.
good strength,
tell you what
good
I've
leverage,
seen.
Set the edge.
Looked like Derek Burgess.
Well,
he was dancing with a tackle.
Evidently, Andy's seen more than I have because I haven't even
seen
that.
I would
that.
Say probably like four
that's
plays. Literally, all I saw him doing was playing with a tackle.
But you know what? If he gets in the game on Thursday and happens to get a sack or two sacks, and then, you know, even if it's against Patrick Ramsey or Sean Canfield, whoever else playing quarterback for the Saints
Sean
at that
Canfield,
point.
Well done.
Someone swallowed
then people, no, but then people are going to say, oh, see, look, this kid makes plays. He's got to get in the lineup. And by the end of preseason, he could be the starter again. You mean you say he's slipping down the depth chart, but it's only been like two practices.
Yeah, I tend to ride the peaks and valleys of training.
Yeah, and what we don't
I
know.
Tend to think that I've been watching them do this stuff for like months and months.
Yeah,
and it's like
it's 2.5 weeks.
Day
so
nine
whatever.
Or whatever
right.
it is.
And what we don't know is what the plan was. Because we've seen a lot of times Bill will go out there with a plan established.
Well, part of the plan is Derek Burgess.
This guy's going to be out there for this day and this day. This guy will be out there for that day and that day. I don't know if Marcus Morrell was part of the plan. I don't know. My guess is that he wasn't.
I kind of agree with you, but on the other hand, Gary Guyton went down, Brandon Spikes went on the field, and I've seen Brandon Spikes every day.
Right. I agree, and I totally agree. And I don't think that there was any plan that would have had Marcus Morrell involved. I really think that.
Fred eats it right down to the rind.
Oh, yeah.
You go deep there.
Oh, I love watermelon. Love it.
Why is it that everything he says can have a dirty connotation?
I think he works at it.
You're going pretty deep
He
there.
Works at it, yeah.
David,
you had this big
you.
Hat on.
Yeah, not you.
David writes in, first time listening live because I got a new job, which allows me to listen. Quick question.
Can I get that job?
In the preseason, coaches move players around and to see what they can do at different positions with different responsibilities. So in the preseason, have you ever heard of a head coach moving coaches around regarding coaching responsibilities during an actual preseason game to see the versatility and possibly uncovering some unknown talent or whatever. I just think sometimes putting a different responsibility on a coach during a game might shed light on a better way of doing things or new ways of seeing something. I know coaches are specialized in their specific areas, but so are players, but that hasn't stopped the Patriots from moving players around. Also, love listening to the show, guys. You do an amazing job. I also renewed my subscription to the paper.
Well, we have seen coaches either start the season on the sideline and then go up in the booth later on and vice versa.
Right.
We've seen some people with the headset, some with not, some people with...
I think that's the biggest example of, like, where you call the plays from, like, trying it from ground level to up in the booth. I think teams have, you know, looked at changes there. But I think it's in terms of responsibilities.
Yeah, you're not going to coach the tight ends one day and the running backs.
Oh, yeah.
And that's bad for the players, too.
You need consistency there.
Yeah.
And when they do it with the players, when they change positions, that's a plan. They move Troy Brown to defensive back in training camp, probably not really thinking there was much of a chance that he was going to have to do that. They probably looked at the way the roster was going to set up, and they thought maybe we'll keep one fewer defensive back than we normally do because of whatever the reason was. Let's get somebody prepared just in case. Hmm. But they don't just throw Troy Brown out there. You know, you don't take the running backs coach and say, why don't you coach tight ends in this game
from
a different perspective?
The bigger issue is Troy Brown affects Troy Brown, only Troy Brown. He learns another position. We've deemed him capable of picking up some extra stuff as an emergency. If you switch coaches, all 5, 7, 10 players that may be under that position coach are affected for at least a short period of time, and that's now they're getting a different message, slightly different message, mixed message. I mean, that would kill all continuity you build through camp. That would be horrendous.
You guys made that point right off the top.
Jeez,
I agree.
Now he's eating the green stuff. What are you doing?
Paul in London.
You all right?
Hey, guys, and Eric.
Green
just a few
poisonous,
questions
you know.
About today's practice. How did the three tight ends look against different opposition? That's
Gronk
number one.
Gronk scored another touchdown.
Yep.
Yes, red
did.
Zone.
Aaron
H-Bomb caught
a
lot
good
of catches.
A
couple on the sideline.
Yep.
He's very active out of the slot, mostly.
Yep.
Gronk, I thought, had more.
Crumpler had a drop, but it was a screaming bullet that he reached up for and deflected off his hands.
I actually
over the
saw
middle.
They did some stuff with the running game that all three of them were involved in, not overly successfully. By
but
the way.
Gronk got some reps lined up wide. Everybody likes to pigeonhole him into inline tight end 3-point stance. He had some reps out wide, standing up next to Welker. I liked.
Nice. How did Mayo and McKenzie look?
I didn't see much of McKenzie. It was a lot of spikes.
Mayo had a tough day.
Oh, boy.
Mayo got
run the bleep over.
Punt team, he got
not
pancaked,
quite ready for game speed.
And then in the one-on-one drill covering the running backs.
No one looked good in that.
It's an impossible drill. It's unfair to the linebackers.
Yeah. Way too much field.
But he had a rough day today.
Did any of our secondary impress at all?
No.
Kyle Arrington? Didn't,
no, no, didn't see
I him. Didn't see anybody no. that I would say
I'm really
me.
Pushing for Kyle Arrington.
Jimmy had a pass defense.
I can honestly say that
he did. He made a nice goal line play. Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think that you could say that any member of that secondary
when they did goal line,
were
they
way.
Full speed?
Mm-hmm. Not running, no.
No? Okay. Put me down on the lunch list.
Yeah, it was passing mostly. They didn't really run it in goal line.
Just to clarify,
you might do running this afternoon?
Your impression of full speed is tackling to the ground.
Yes.
Because everything is done full speed.
Yeah. You run
but
full
there's
speed.
No tackling.
Live to the ball.
It's hard to stop.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why coaches are always yelling, stay up, and Thomas Williams doesn't.
Thomas Williams.
He's trying to make the team.
All over the place.
A guy like him's trying to make the team. He's got to do anything.
As I wrote
he can.
In the blog yesterday, it's a fine line between impressing the coaches and getting a lot of enemies on the other side of the ball.
I know, but he's got to do what he's got to do.
And I think some coaches even frown upon practice heroes. Paul would. He hates them.
Oh, I hate him. Hate him.
Phil and Austin.
But I like Thomas Williams.
Phil in Austin says, check out the 119 minute of the August 3rd edition. Fred's mic was still on and is audible under the music. And I guess I did another F-bomb. You know the graphic on ProFootballTalk.com that counts the number of days without an NFL player being arrested? Maybe PFW needs something similar, like number of shows without a swear word on the air.
That's good.
Any guesses for the over-under for the year? Well, if they have our mics on during the breaks, it's...
Yeah, that's not fair.
Especially me.
That's off the record.
I can't speak.
But I blame the guy behind the glass here.
Yeah, it's Kevin's fault.
We go to a break. I'm assuming that people can't hear what I'm saying.
I wouldn't. When you're on the air, you're assuming they can hear you, and they often can't.
I tapped on the window.
That's called irony.
Put his headphone on.
Isn't it ironic?
Let's see. Marquise from D.C. Daniels?
The outside linebacker?
No. He says, hey, fellas, quick question. Paul stated in the column, the much-talked-about change to the overtime rules will go into effect in the postseason with both teams being allowed to possess the ball once unless the first team scores a touchdown on the opening possession. The officials explain that a possession includes any opportunity for a team to receive a kick. Now, does that mean that if Team A, let's say it's the Patriots, and Team B, the Colts, were in overtime in the playoffs, and Team A kicked to Team B, two plays later, Team B throws an interception, Team A takes over. However, on the first play from scrimmage, they fumble, and the ball goes back to Team B. Team B goes down the field and kicks a field goal.
Game over.
Does
game
Team
over.
B win the game, even though Team A never had an opportunity to receive a kick?
They had a possession.
They had a possession, though.
Yeah. I think
that
the reason why
I think what I wrote was a possession constitutes
and I think,
a team that has a chance.
The confusion or in the user is that they didn't get the ball because of a kick. But the reason why the NFL wrote that in is because people would be questioning: well, is receiving
a
kick
possession?
A possession?
Onside kick,
right.
Onside kick, a fumbled.
A possession is if you turn the ball over and you get possession of the ball. It's a possession as well as a kick. You know,
everything basically constitutes a possession.
Yeah. Let's see. Brent writes in. I've been catching up on my PFW in Progress podcasts. I love the training camp podcast as well. Good. Those are hosted by Eric, right? Don't you host those?
He's the host of the most.
No. Yeah. I check out your write-ups daily on the blog and at Patriots.com. I've even posted a few links on a couple other websites when people ask for more info on the Patriots. Thank you. He also says, I also like the addition of Kevin to the group. He is not as quiet as Tacoma and has quickly picked up on the audio quotes on the board. Sorry, I don't know the technical terms. So a step ahead of Doc at an early stage.
Not hard.
Yeah, I'd say he's, you know, step ahead of Doc where Doc is now. Wouldn't you?
Yeah. After all these years?
Yeah. Doc is and always will be at
Zero. And they're called drops, too, just so.
Oh.
I came across this story on Boston.com with the competition between EEI and BZ. I think it was an interesting to note. The changes made by EEI and Boston.com for the web pages to compete with ESPN Boston.com. Did you read that story?
I did.
Yeah. I think one of the things that the writer forgot to mention as part of this landscape now.
Us?
In the car. No. Well, not just us, but people downloading podcasts and listening to them in their car. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's also part of the
I also think he didn't
landscape
really.
Landscape now.
I thought he didn't really get
Who's
into.
He? What's the writer's name?
If you say it, it's
Brent
not a sports guy.
Who?
Brent in Switzerland.
I mean, he meant the article, I think, right?
It's not a sport. It wasn't in the sports section.
What is it in the Globe?
It was in yesterday's Globe. Joe Hahn, maybe? No,
it's usually Chad Finn, the guy who writes the meeting.
This was a real reporter.
Oh.
Whoa!
I love it. I don't think he...
You know what's ironic when you do that, laugh. And then you run up to these guys and hug them and, hey, Chad, I love you. Love your work.
No, he called me insufferably snide. I won't be running up to him and...
I agree with him.
Anyway,
he called you insufferably snide?
Yeah, a long time ago.
It's not the worst thing he's been called.
When did he call you then?
I don't know.
While you were here?
Is this the yellow boxer guy?
No.
Oh.
No, that's Dave Scott. No. I thought he could have done a better job explaining the website. So he said, you know, they're competing with ESPNBoston.com and Comcast Sportsnet and Boston.com. But what exactly are they compete? I mean, they're radio stations. They're not competing with the written word. I don't think he did a good enough job of sort of explaining the different vehicles that those websites are starting to do.
They're all competing for the same ad dollars. That's what...
Well, I don't think he did a good enough job explaining that.
I've been following... This is Brent in Switzerland again. I've been following PFW since I moved to Switzerland in 2001. You guys have been at the forefront of print, web, and video for Boston Sports, although it has only been for the Patriots. What do you guys think on your progress over the past few years, and where do you see PFW and Patriots.com improving?
Staff writer.
I'm just kidding.
Angry Eric is back.
Where can we improve? That's a great question.
Salaries.
compensation.
No, we have a lot. We always can improve, right?
Especially in that department.
Of course, right.
Well,
we're
working on it.
Editing.
Well,
we had one of our worst ever snafus this week.
What happened? Did I miss it?
Getting to know
we all miss
Rob
it.
Myers says getting to know
Thomas Williams.
Williams.
It's one of the It's probably one of the most egregious editing mistakes we've made.
Very bad.
And we make fun of the Herald for the stuff that they did?
Well, they had a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
They had three times
on
as
one
many
page.
As we did.
Yeah. And we had one major one. Not as bad as the Pfeiffer one you guys had blown up and 12 feet tall at Super Bowl.
Oh, that was bad. Remember that?
What was that?
There was a little tease in the top corner of the cover that said something about Pfeiffer. It was a feature about Roman Pfeiffer. And Pfeiffer was spelled wrong. And not only we had that on the cover for the issue, which is embarrassing enough, but when we went down to the Super Bowl, we blew up some covers, and we had these big billboards
like
made. That was one of the ones. It was Pfeiffer was in like 85 points.
I remember that one. I thought we were talking about Michelle Pfeiffer at the time. That's why I didn't change it.
It still would have been spelled wrong.
I knew Eric couldn't let it go. I knew he couldn't let it go.
Todd Porter has a question for Jason and Chiba. He says, Jason, how do you say Eric is a Fox News watching pompous conservative moron in Japanese?
Sayonara. Speaking of which, why are my channels not on? Where's my girl?
We don't have cable right now.
Yeah, we don't. Because they changed to Verizon and something. I don't know. I got this
look. Really?
When I asked Doc, I got this look.
Oh, what happened?
Yeah, I couldn't watch the Red Sox game.
Wait. Switching over to me. What happened?
Doc said something about they switched to Verizon. And
we're switching from
Comcast
to Verizon.
We're switching. We haven't switched yet?
I think we've been in the process for like 2 weeks now.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
So.
Now, why don't we get a... Why don't we get a segment on the show? How about the picks? You know, every Thursday, the Verizon picks contest.
Yeah, we said we wanted to do that.
Let's sell these things. We have new sponsors.
It's not really our job to sell.
Let's get them involved in the show. The email just asked how we can improve things.
I think it's a great idea.
Bigger budgets, more money.
Every Friday, make it a better listen.
Do
we do it Friday still?
Thursday. Not on Friday.
Right. Every Thursday we do our picks.
That would also
And this year we were thinking of having a different listener every show come on and do the picks with us.
Right.
And if you beat us, then you win, you know, a Northeastern cap.
You win a copy of PFW.
A hearty handshake.
Right. Well, you win something.
Sweaty, practice used.
Sweaty balls.
You win tickets to the Hall.
Well,
Patriot
if we could
Place.
Get Verizon to sponsor, we could
Presented
give out a droid or something. Right?
Presented by Raytheon.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Aren't they separate companies, though?
Verizon sells droid. Well, Verizon
No,
Network.
I know, but I believe Verizon Wireless is a separate company from
the rest
of Verizon.
It's Verizon Corporate than Verizon Wireless.
Thank you.
Oh, my.
All right.
I just need to bring facts to this table.
Maybe
here.
I can get a T-shirt for you. I don't
Andy
know.
Andy Hart knows just a little bit about everything.
Way too much.
Somehow, maybe we could give something away that has the sponsor's name on it.
Okay.
Whoever the sponsor is.
Frisbees.
You know. Frisbees are big. The Frisbee dogs.
I think that's a good idea.
Let's bring the Frisbee dogs back for halftime.
So should we do that?
Sure.
If we can sell it, sell it. Even if we can't sell it, we'll do it and... You know, get the.
I'm not going out and buying.
This is like a focus group meeting that broke out.
What's that?
It's called PFW in progress.
Okay.
Yeah, but you're talking to all the people that can't do anything about it, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, except Fred. He's used to be a big
Fred's an idea man.
Well, then why is he talking to you about it?
But he, like Jermaine Cunningham, is moving down the depth chart. Yeah.
I get demoted. I don't know if you know.
He missed a meeting yesterday. In the middle of camp, he goes, oh, balls, I got a meeting, and runs out.
You did.
Thankfully, both the top shelf people were on the field at the time, so we knew it wasn't anybody.
We figured it couldn't have been too serious.
We knew it wasn't with a craft.
Because the crafts were out in the field.
Let the games begin. Andrew in Ukraine, this is why the offseason is too long. It gives the negative Nancys too much time to construct doomsday scenarios. Eric, you say 8-8 now, but we all know that the conditions on the ground will dictate you predicting the Patriots 16 consecutive weeks.
Every week.
That's inaccurate.
And from Andy's prediction, I see he has conceded the great debate. I know you knew if the Patriots had Brady, you knew they were going to be among the favorites.
If they didn't have Brady, they'd be battling for the number one pick.
Yeah, but now you think they're
going
to be 6-10 with Brady.
Right. I think he's valuable.
You've lost the debate.
How did
I lose the debate?
The debate
is over. You have lost.
No, that's wrong. No. Because I also said if they win week one, they can be battling for the playoffs.
Listen to me. You've lost.
No, I didn't.
Okay. 6-10 with Brady, you've lost.
You've lost.
And enough about Houston already. Here's a stat for you. When Brady, Moss, and Welker have all been healthy, the Pats have yet to lose a home game. I know it was on the road, but you have to dismiss.
This is like the Celtics haven't lost a series with the big three, with the whole starting five healthy.
Right.
True. Don't make.
You know. Today was Shaq Day.
All right. If we're gonna,
has it happened?
10:30 this morning. Yep.
You want to take obscure stats and say whatever you want.
What's obscure about Brady, Welker, and Moss?
Last year, Brady
was just gonna scratch his back and he couldn't.
Is that what that was?
It's funny or more entertaining than anything I was going to come out with, so I'm stopping.
Sorry. I don't know what you're talking about.
Jason, you're a lot happier in person than you are via email, I've noticed.
That's good. That's
it? Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Kevin, have
is
you
that like an alter ego that
did
you
did you listen to the Joey Feep MP3?
Most of the things I have to say
I have
are pretty
yet. Is it in the inbox from today?
Yeah.
You're an angry emailer.
Actually, I don't know if it's from today.
Not a neo-Nazi, are you?
I've seen him yelling at me yesterday.
It's from 810.
Let me take a look. That is today. Let me take a look.
It's called If I Had a Penis, so... Oh, that woke Andy.
Yes, I
said that word. He looks up. What?
That's because we all know about his tendencies.
Right.
Minnie Mouse.
Doc actually sent that to me this morning with in huge letters that said "Do not play on air."
Okay.
But I have listened to it. It is pretty funny.
So Joey Feep, you just went into the delete.
I mean, he's one of the rare ever that's too bad for the air.
God only knows what's on that thing.
There was that one other guy.
To make it unsuitable.
I got a little wiener. It involved forget it.
Mary writes in, I'm interested in taking my children to Patriots training camp, but I am unsure of the location.
What?
Is it at Gillette Stadium or at a practice facility next to Gillette Stadium? I would appreciate a response.
Yes.
Since my kids are loyal Patriots fans, but I've never seen them play.
See, it's not scripted, Jason. It just happens.
It's behind Gillette
Stadium. That sounds scripted when he's actually doing it.
Mary has never seen her kids play. That's really sad. Oh, she meant the Patriots.
Oh.
I think it's funny that Andy automatically assumes Mary is older. So he's like, MILF?
Well, she says she has kids. Kids unless
well, before, all you heard was Mary, and you're like, MILF?
No, I heard her say
Mary
kids.
Is a more traditional name.
No, I think
it's
I
older
heard kids
name.
First. Send photo of you, not
anyway,
kids.
Anyway, Patriots practice. If you get to Gillette Stadium, you can't miss it.
Right. They'll
it's
be
not
arrows.
Actually in the stadium. It's behind the stadium, but signs will
and
lead
this is
you
the time
to where
do
you
it.
Need to go.
This afternoon, right. tomorrow, yep. these are the times to do it. There's more stuff to see right now than any other day.
And I think tomorrow's open to the public, too, right?
Yep. Right. Tomorrow morning. Yep.
According to the Falcons website, our Wednesday practice next week is not open to the public. They're only giving Tuesday, the double session on Tuesday. So unless that changes between now and then, fans are only going to get to see Tuesday's practice if they're down in the area.
What about
area.
Media?
Oh, I think we get access to both. Okay. But. Or else.
Fred's all bummed out.
I was going to go to the mall.
So next week, are we having no PFW?
Oh, these two guys will be here.
No, we'll be here.
Fred and
thank
I are,
God.
Fred
the
and
a,
I are going
the
down there.
The A-team will be here.
The A-team. A rare
the
A show. Whole oh, team will be
that's
here.
That's right. And you I got even, that right, Eric.
I won't
oh,
even,
now you guys are buddying up because you're going to spend a week together? I thought he was Mr. Yeah. He doesn't know where the tight end lines up. Now you're friends? I see how it is.
Unbelievable.
It really is.
Yeah. You are like
no,
Conrad Doppler.
You make fun of me for doing the same thing at the
he's
combine.
Say, I don't know who that is.
When you, you have to spend a week in a place with somebody, you got to get along.
That's what Andy does at the combine.
Right, I fake
year.
It.
All I know is that.
You would know because you never go, Paul.
All I
that's
know
accurate.
Now it goes
is
back
that
to
the
Paul.
Two of you were walking to breakfast, like, yeah, just woken up together.
Well, they had.
And I heard Eric say, how was your hamstring? So I don't know what that means. I don't know what happened the night
what
before.
What are you talking about?
What the hell are you talking about?
Can we read an email?
And there was that odd music playing in the background.
I don't know. I didn't even ask.
And Eric had a cigarette.
Yeah.
What the hell was going
smoke.
On?
Yeah. So.
Well, this could
here
be serious.
To some sexual content.
We what? Share a room together, and we
Andy
both work out
excited.
So we
could
legitimately have injuries.
Right.
He's always complaining about his IT band. Right. Now, I always say, I don't know what your internet has to do with your...
Do you sweat a lot when you work out?
Yes.
You guys were saying something about a new segment last week. What was it?
Yes, Jason and Chiba.
Oh, he wanted to have it, right?
Yeah. I'll believe that when I see it, something like that.
Yeah. You wanted to do it.
I believe.
Really? It was somehow you wanted to rip other media outlets.
Oh, yeah. Like, we should have, like, once a week, the worst... You know, the most egregious errors.
Coincidence, I think not.
Oh, something. When they steal stuff from us.
Yeah.
That's
that's
coincidence,
right.
I think not. Right.
Right, so the two of them, that's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Coincidence,
I think not.
Pulled hammy? I just pulled a hammy.
Doing what?
Running. Try it sometime.
From Eric?
No, for exercise. Then you'd be able to scratch your back, you fat bastard.
I like it when he's calling other people fat bastard.
Well, he really did. He went like, and the arm wouldn't go back there.
The arm can go back there. There's no problem.
You know? That's why you have that
Fred,
long
gonna
handle
get,
on your groomer.
Yeah, Fred, we're going to get you one of those little wooden
the back scratch.
I have one.
I have one
in
the back.
He has one in his office.
I have one that extends. It's
you're
like
46
wand.
Going on 76. Don't deny it.
He's 46.
He's 48.
49.
Oof,
big one coming. Looks 69, doesn't
good
he?
Good job.
How old do you think Paul is?
52. He looks actually significantly better, I got to say, with less hair. Less hair is much better.
See, we were telling him that 5 years ago, and he wouldn't do it.
I appreciate
that. Yeah, I know. He's a bit of a biased.
Yeah, it is. It's not necessarily
not a lot of hair on that side of the room.
Stores, but I appreciate that.
Jason
a lot of
looks like an MMA guy.
Right.
You know?
Or
you
can
go MMA. I was going somewhere
thank
else.
You.
But...
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm
Ron Burkin.
I've gotten a lot of criticism for it. That's why I appreciate that.
From who?
The wife?
The emailers. Oh, no, my wife likes it.
No, you're fine,
the emailers have been killing me.
The wife likes it when you grow out the bangs? Is that...
I liked it better when he didn't talk. Phil, go do something. Go do whatever it is you do when you're not
Spider.
Here.
Spider.
All right, read an email.
You could come up with a Diet Pepsi.
Paul actually shot a producer a couple years ago in the foot there, Kevin, so you better watch out.
I go from zero to hot. You never know.
Jonathan from Spencer writes in. It seems like we've got difficult times looming on the horizon.
Central Mass.
I can't see where you get that from listening to this show. Although they don't usually get the hype.
Wait a minute. You just said, I see where Andy's coming. Wait a minute. You agreed with me that you could see where I'm coming from on the Bengals game and the importance of this and how things could kind of snowball.
But I don't come out of the gate saying they're going to be 6-10. I think they're going to be 11-5 or 10-6.
Well, you also didn't tell us what you thought would happen if they went 0-2.
I said, then all bets are off.
Yeah, he did say that. So you can't even verbalize that 6-10 is a possibility.
You're saying the same thing.
You agree with me.
But
100%.
You think that that's baloney. What they're going to do. I don't think that's going to happen.
Andy said if they lose that Bengals game.
No, he did say
it. It's in
trouble.
But
he believes that.
I don't think he believes they're going to lose the Bengals.
I don't.
No, but you believe
they're
going to go 6-10.
No. That's the joke that I'm
having. And he thinks he's an all-pro.
Who does?
I've been saying that's the number most associated with Andy Hart is 6-10.
Right.
He doesn't really think they're going to go 6-10.
You said it on this show.
Well, that was the first time.
He got all hurt. But
that was
anyway,
you clearly agree with me that this season is like,
how they start.
There's a lot of little threads dangling.
Oh,
if those threads break,
absolutely.
Okay, well, a lot of it has to do with the psyche of that defense too. I think if they jump out of the gates and have a couple of good performances, like they did last year, by the way.
Or if Darius Butler gets burnt 6 times like he did today, and starts the cushion grows and he's getting further and further from guys,
I think they could get some confidence. But the Andy point about the Bengals game. That's a potential to go the other way
right.
with T.O. and Ocho Cinco, and all of a sudden they get their confidence shot right out of the gate.
And combine it with the last time you played. Your owner's been embarrassed since you got laughed off the field by the Ravens. If you open up the next year in a similar fashion, what does that say about the whole offseason of leaders and chemistry and crap?
Although they don't usually get the hype that skill players receive, the line on both sides is clearly a foundation of a strong team. So with these recent injuries... Just how much trouble are the Pats in? When they lost Brady, they didn't have a great season, but they still won 11 games. I don't think they will be so fortunate if the lines are both full of holes like it seems they will be this year.
That's
so,
a concern.
What are the chances the Pats do some wheeling and dealing and try to get some known commodities at the offensive and defensive line? The Seymour trade took us by surprise, so is there a good chance a similar event happens this preseason but in the opposite direction?
Get him back. Yeah, but,
first
round pick for Seymour.
Trade a first round pick for an established defensive lineman. Or, you know, I don't know if a guard is worth it, but I think the email is right. That's
Give
a
me
concern.
A name.
But I think they kind of feel like they did address the defensive line by signing two guys who were former first round picks.
Yeah, but that was before they lost Ty Warren.
Now you have two holes instead of one.
Do you feel the Pats
had two to fill one hole? Now you have two holes.
And I should say, for anybody who just started to listen, if in fact they did lose Ty Warren, we think it's a serious injury from what Bill said on Monday, yesterday.
Speculating based on how he handles things.
Not day to day.
Right.
He also wants to know if there's any chance the Patriots would go after Revis. Well, there's no way the Jets would. You know, remember, he's got 2 years left on his deal.
Three
years left in his deal. It's not like.
He'll be back week one. He'll be in uniform for the Jets week one.
See, I find it hard to believe that he'd sit out too, Eric, but I wonder what kind of player you get out of him now. Because you've seen this a lot of times with, you know, high-profile guys. Not all of them, I'm not saying it's unprecedented, but not all of them are able to just come in and make it look like they never left. If he misses all of camp and he's involved in all this crap, I wonder if he's the same player.
Asante did.
He was a little, I thought he struggled a little early in that season.
He did get beat a couple of times, especially...
And I certainly would say Revis is a better player than Asante Samuel.
The one in the Jets game is the one that I always remember.
That was the that was the first game, I believe. Wasn't that the Moss game?
Yes.
Yep. Three touchdown game?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, he did struggle a little bit in that game. That's another one of those things. You get deceived by the score, and you forget,
you know, how you got there. You know, Moss put that game away with some incredible plays in the second half, but it wasn't a blowout from start to finish.
We've heard this before, but Scott writes in, they're both the same age, both players playing for a longer-term deal. How about trading Mankins for Merriman? You know, so we've heard that before.
I think you have the same worries with Merriman that you do with Mankins. Do you want to give that guy a long-term deal? I would feel better about giving it to Mankins than Merriman, to be honest.
Well, yeah, more so. Mankins was good last year. Merriman hasn't been great.
Right.
Brett writes in, regardless of whether or not Andy ever predicted wins and losses this year, I get the feeling that none of you think the Pats are going to win at all. What do you think is the least amount of changes and additions the team needs to make in order for them to go to the Super Bowl and win without being fluky or lucky?
Five. I'm going to be consistent. That's what I told the first person.
No, I just think the defense has to come together. And in order for that to happen, there's a lot of ifs. It could happen.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that. If everything you don't know about is good,
right?
They
could go to the
Super
Bowl.
Butler, yeah, Chung. If they're all playmakers flying around,
if Dan Conley and you don't miss a thing, if
right?
Darius Butler and McCourty, like Andy said, if Jermaine Cunningham is a presence off the edge, if Damian Tate Lewis and Gerard Warren say Richard Seymour, who?
Yeah,
I mean, all these things happen. They could be a Super Bowl team.
What are the chances?
I'm just assuming half probably pan out, half don't, and you know, somewhere in the middle you fall.
Is the offense really a given? I mean,
I don't think so. A lot of other people do, though.
What do you mean by given?
It'll be better than last year.
We had one season of, what I came to expect before that was winning offense that didn't blow you off the field or cover up for a bad defense. Now,
but I think you have
still there
competitive to high-end NFL offense. I think it's
Year we thought that the offense would cover up for the defense and they'd be fine.
It didn't.
Wasn't quite good enough, especially in the second half of games.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know,
but even then, it's good. The defense you have, the defense could be the 32nd defense in the National Football League.
And I think
could be horrendous.
And I do think
it'll
be better
than
last year.
I think that it could be,
particularly in the red zone.
But I think that they might be lacking strongly on the offensive line.
That's true.
That's one area.
And if that happens,
that's a question mark.
Then they're not going to be any better than they were last year. Just
last
because
year
they have
was
a couple
good
more options. I agree. Last year,
offense may not be NFL caliber.
Fred just put it perfect. Everybody thought the offense would make up for the defense.
It didn't.
The offense was not the problem, however. The defense was, in my mind. And that might still be the case. It just wasn't good enough to close out games. They couldn't win by themselves they did in 07.
Let's see. Mike writes in, and Mike is in sunny freaking Florida, he says. I don't think I've missed any podcasts yet. I feel I must have missed information on the most neglected position on the team, outside linebacker, who looks like the starters now. How is Mike Vrabel's brother Ninkovich looking? How can any NFL team go into a season with these jokers as starters? I cannot believe how the brain trust has allowed such an important position to be so thin for so long.
Well,
Adalius Thomas.
And to a lesser degree, Derek Burgess. Mm.
Yeah.
You had a veteran who you knew was, okay, he could fill the spot last year. He didn't show up.
Yeah.
And he may still show up. The comments the other day from Bill, I got the impression that he might, we talked about maybe a personal issue.
Yeah.
I got the impression he's dealing with something.
We really didn't go into detail about that theory on this show, but, you know, we look at it as simply as he doesn't know whether he wants to retire or not, but there could be more to that story that he needs to get resolved, and at which time, if he does, it might become an easy decision to keep playing. So we don't know what's behind, you know, his hesitance right now, and it could be a million different reasons.
Bill referenced that, saying, you know, there's all different circumstances, because I personally don't believe
it is what it is.
If there's nothing, if it's just him wanting to skip camp and doesn't know whether he wants to play or not, I don't think guys like Vince Wilfork, Ty Warren, Gerard Mayo would welcome him to this team.
I don't either.
But if he has divorce, kids, any personal issue, then I think there's a chance they would all say, we understand it, man.
They'll rally
family
around
comes
him.
For, right.
Yeah.
Come on, join us.
Absolutely.
So I got the vibe that there's something more there than just Brett Favre. I don't know if I want to
I think
play.
So, too. Yeah. Otherwise, I think the decision would have been made by
right.
him.
Right. I think he'd be done.
Yeah. And he doesn't seem like the prima donna type who says, oh, I just don't feel like showing up for camp. And
he's not good enough to be that anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
but he also doesn't
no
look,
idea.
You know, doesn't seem like that type of player.
What do you mean he's not good enough?
He stinks.
Yeah, but Bill said he was the best
that's
true. Has ever played.
And I shouldn't say he stinks because he's better than
at setting the edge. At setting the edge.
At everything.
Yeah, at everything.
At everything.
The requirements of that position. But
I look at teams like San Diego especially and see a bunch of lower-round draft picks at linebacker that have worked their way into starting roles with the team. All players that you spoke about during the last five or so drafts and that we could have taken. Why can other 3-4 teams find these guys? Yet Bill wastes time with a guy like Pierre Woods. I think his obsession with prototypical physical dimensions is one of his many flaws in his personnel evaluations.
Now we get back to Adelis Thomas.
Thank you, and one day I will provide lunch.
If you had a Pro Bowl
save that email.
Linebacker at outside linebacker, Adelis Thomas, to be the guy at the position, it'd be easier to fill in the other pieces.
Yeah.
But they missed on that guy.
Which, by the way, is what San Diego has done.
Right.
San Diego drafted Merriman, I think, with the 12th overall pick. They drafted Larry English with the 16th overall pick. And then they fill in with other guys that might be lower round draft picks. You know, now Merriman's not that guy anymore, but he was. In 06, he certainly was the guy.
But, yeah. I mean, we would look at this position totally differently if you had Pro Bowler Adelis Thomas, Tully Bantakane, who's been good in our system, and second-round pick Jermaine Cunningham, who has the raw talent, might take a little. You would say?
We'd be like, okay, let's go.
To start the year, and by the end of the year, it might be good.
Yeah.
But you swung and missed on Thomas, and it all went south.
And check out the latest issue. Andy writes about this in his commentary about Adelis Thomas. And there's a lot of stuff. We were all wrong. We all thought it was a great signing. We were all wrong.
Yep.
And that's in large part why they're in the situation at that spot today, Adelis Thomas.
Steve in Connecticut, you've talked a lot about how well the rookie tight ends are doing catching the ball.
What a story that would be.
Given the depth issues at offensive line, can we expect Gronk or Hernandez or Crumpler to contribute in blocking and protection?
Crumpler and Gronk.
Particularly Gronk and Crumpler.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get a lot of protection out of Hernandez, but you're going to catch he's going to catch a lot of passes.
Right. Have we talked about that on the air, that he takes his helmet
off? He takes his helmet off like almost like Brett Favre, circa 96.
Annoyingly often. When no one else on the field has their helmet off.
Every play,
he's take his
he takes his helmet off.
Like, I want you to know what my face looks like?
And
If something goes wrong and he pouts, he takes his helmet off and complains.
Every time he
I'm wondering if he's claustrophobic or something.
Every time he ends a play on the ground, he stays on the ground for a little while.
It's a bit of a show.
And he takes his helmet off. Every single play.
And he threw a football at Thomas Williams the other day after he tackled him.
He's a hothead. He's a hothead. He's an unlikable sort from afar.
Well, but I said he could be our Jeremy Shockey.
But then that's a great example because as a pass catcher, he's shown great ability in camp so far.
A lot of speed. Yeah.
Open field moves. Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm pretty sure I could find a show that you said you wouldn't want Jeremy Shockey.
Oh, me?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
You don't want those guys.
No, I don't like
to be fair, you can find a show where Fred said we beat the Texans last year.
Like a Benjamin Watson
Thursday
production
show.
Kind of a...
Yeah, it was last week, actually.
Jonas says, I was wondering if you had any early predictions for numbers by position at the final 53. I went looking for last year's first final 53 to get an idea, but I failed.
What position are you looking for?
I think he wants the
53-man
roster.
53-man roster?
2 weeks.
When do you come out with your first one?
Paul doesn't.
Here, I got a napkin.
Next week?
I think that's the...
Write him down. Go.
Five running backs, six wide receivers.
Yeah. One quarterback.
Two quarterbacks.
I'm going to say seven wide
receivers.
Nine
offensive linemen, three tight ends.
Somebody adding?
Six defensive linemen.
How many quarterbacks did you say?
Two.
Robinson?
No.
Why?
He's not a lock.
No, but...
I would go with one.
Yeah, I do that on purpose.
I would go with a single.
Well, I'd go with two, but I'm not calling him a lock. I'm saying they could go out and sign somebody if they find somebody.
Going with one. Edelman's my two.
Where were we? Linebackers and defensive backs are tough. 10 defensive backs total.
10?
Maybe 8 linebackers. 3 specialists. What's that, 58?
I don't know. We just wasted all our time.
Joe says,
we're all dumber for having listened to you.
Joe says, hey, guys, love the show. Here's my question. Has Belichick had a contract extension? Because I can't really remember how long the Patriots signed him.
I believe through 13.
13. Well, but
nobody knows for sure.
Yeah. That was the last reported was through 13.
That was really into solving the world's problems.
I believe.
Yes.
By Michael Smith.
But I don't know if that's, I mean, Forbes had access to $7.5 million per year. I don't know if they know, but they didn't report
the length of the
contract. I'm told that he's here as long as he wants to be.
Right, but there's,
you know.
Oh, so you're saying the contract could be open-ended?
I don't know.
I agree with that, but that's one of those things if, you know.
So is Tom Brady.
How long does he have to be is the kind of the question.
Alex writes in, now, Kevin, this involves you. Did you read this email from Alex about all the technical problems
today
with the volume?
His problems today?
No. He says, I want to welcome Kevin to the fold and extend my hope. He has a long and enjoyable tenure with the team. However, I would like to mention two concerns I've had in the past week or so. Someone else mentioned in an email read by Fred during a recent PFW show that the opening intro was exceptionally loud enough so that it distorted the sound, but that comment was poo-pooed by the PFW staff at the time. I'd like to say, as one who usually listens to PFW and other Patriots podcasts as podcasts rather than via the live webcast stream or media files from Patriots.com website, that the show intros are exceptionally high volume relative to the show content, i.e. your voices,
on
a regular basis this past week. I think your board settings need to be tweaked. Try listening to the uploaded programs yourself.
Stop
chewing into the mic, too.
Yeah, check
we
it
can
out.
Hear you sucking in there.
Another note associated with the new addition to PFW team. Great. Personally, I don't like the music lead-in after every break. They're unnecessary and often obscure.
Okay, so Kevin sucks. I just want to ask him one
Merry
question.
Merry Christmas.
Did you play Bon Jovi intentionally as he walked on the field today? Or was it playing and he walked on the field? Was this set up? Was this a Vince McMahon production?
No, no comment.
Oh, so you did.
It was not my call.
It was
somebody
organic.
Else's
I thought
call.
It was just
right,
organic.
So, no.
I was ordered, we'll put it this way, I was ordered to play Bon Jovi. We'll
like when
way.
Brady came out to practice a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, I was ordered to play, what was it, I'm Too Sexy?
Yeah.
Right, said Fred?
Yeah. So, right, said Fred.
That guy's name
that should
is
be
right
your favorite
Fred.
Band.
Right, said
yeah,
Fred.
Right, said Fred.
We have wrong, said Fred.
No,
what do you guys think, though? Is it loud? Are the intros loud in your mics? Usually you yell at me when it's too
I hear
loud.
Them in my headphones.
I don't
today
remember
was fine.
Poo-pooing that because...
Today was fine, but
yeah.
There have been other shows where it's...
Well, I don't know.
We
actually
usually pile on. But I would never listen... I mean, I don't listen to the podcast, so I wouldn't know what it sounds like. So I can't see us saying, oh, that's they're right or they're wrong.
Jason has an answer.
Oh, yeah, well, I podcast.
He listens to the podcast. In Japan.
I can't be awake at 2 a.m. every day. Sorry, guys.
Fair enough.
Podcasts can be kind of up and down, and sometimes it's dependent a lot on who's behind the glass, it seems like. I yelled at you guys when I first started listening. I yelled at Gary, and he fixed it for me. Or fixed it for all of us. I'm not really. I mean,
we ever had anything fixed.
It was in response to my email, so.
Okay.
I was kind of proud of that. And
so it was just varying levels.
So lately, how's
it
been?
Well, it was just like... I'm playing the podcast. Podcast ends. Music comes on, and I'm deaf.
Yeah.
Really low, or the music in the bumper would be high, or just something.
So
whatever it was.
I know there's software that when you put it through the encoding process can level everything out.
So there's a difference. Basically, what you're saying, there's a difference between the music and the bits and the stuff that's generic, and then the guys talking.
It's literally been different. It was different from the end of when Toyota left and when you came in. But it was different between Doc and Gary. I mean, it's been different every time.
Two gender.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turn your mic out, Fred.
He sucked, huh?
He was great to have around for the jokes at his expense.
Yes. And the occasional, what was it, the blog reading?
Oh,
yeah.
Right. 2010.
Get an email, Fred?
I got some, but actually it's...
it isn't. No, it is not. It's now 6 minutes
on, Fred.
I want to finish this email from Alex. He says...
156.
I don't want another version, and frankly, I don't want another version of The Big Blow or Dale and Folly. Great for commercial schlock jock radio, to be sure, but the imaginative lead-ins you have used in the past with a fade to Fred's turned-off mic was fine with me, thanks. If your recent spike in listenership numbers is to be believed, there may be a good argument to not F with the recipe that got you those numbers. Kevin's professionalism, he has that in quotes, may not be the best way for you to go for your particular brand of broadcasting. Well, so you shouldn't be so professional.
Dumb it down.
Kevin. Okay, yeah. I'll try to be an idiot.
You're good at it.
You don't have to work that hard.
Look at all the emails coming in about the levels of the podcast.
It's like three
of
them.
A lot of emails.
Bing, bing.
Let's see. Owen and I'll get to those in a minute. Well, let's get right to the levels.
I'd be careful. They might pile up while you're reading another email.
No, I need the suggestions here. So when Eric and I are working down here.
Brian says the podcast intros have been blowing my ears off for a... And I don't know what the rest of that is.
Can we blame Chris Ferreira for this at all?
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, you know he's going to.
Yeah, you're
Brian,
always passing the buck.
Brian
Sean
Springs
going into the mic.
Brian from Connecticut says the open and commercials were very loud and distorted today. The level of the guys is fine.
Yeah, we're fine.
Wow.
We're always
fine. That's a first.
And,
no, it's usually when Andy yells.
And Rutter. Sam in Chicago says the intro and ads are distorted. So it's when he goes to the board, not us.
So the mics are fine.
Sam
it's a board.
So we got to tone the board down.
Just did it.
Didn't we just get a new board?
No, we were supposed to have gotten one, I think, like last week, maybe.
Has it come in yet?
So the one we get is going to work?
When Doc was luring me over here, he said we were going to get a new board, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
That's the way they do things around here.
Unfulfilled promise. Call the bait and switch.
So then we're going to get this board. It's going to be 3 weeks before it gets installed. You watch. Nothing. This is not Kevin's fault. It
never is.
You know?
No, just ask him. It's never his fault.
We're switching to Verizon, but it's going to take 2 weeks.
I can switch down the sound levels.
Are they rewiring something? Like what?
I don't know.
No, they're going to
rewire the whole stadium.
Yeah, Verizon.
Fios. What was it? What the little kid call it in the
Qualm.
True Qualm.
They haven't ran that commercial in a long time.
Uh-huh. But, I used to like
I shouldn't say because they're a sponsor. Anyway, I almost got in trouble there. All right.
Johnny, step down.
That's really going to end the show now. Johnny Verizon will be all over you.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for listening. Thanks for Jason and Chiba for coming by and giving us lunch. I'll call Brian Morey, make sure you can get in the hall.
You want to write an update?
And another big practice today with the Saints.
Not unless
no show on Thursday. No show on Thursday because, there'll be a show. What am I talking
about?
It's a game day.
We'll be here.
Yeah, so there'll be a show on Thursday. We'll see you then.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes, and I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.